say to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Tuesday. Talk radio the way our founders intended it. America, we're effed. Day 314. Brought to you by Henderson's Vaccine Suppositories. You may feel a little prick. Thought of that myself. He put the Eric in America. Eric Stacey's here.
What's up?
Rocking the mic like a vandal. Yo, Frey.
Yo, yo.
Man. You know, Florida has the lowest COVID in the country still. And it's because, well, A, it's because everything we've been told about prevention and treatment. Well, there hasn't been much treatment talk. But everything Fauci has advised, he's been wrong on. He says he represents science, you know.
Science.
If I was science, I'd get like half looped and I'd go over to his house and kick his ass. The reason is the Florida is doing so well is because of Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
There is no other way. There's no other excuse for it. We're not doing this mandate and this vax mandate. You know, we don't have to have a card to go to a restaurant. You don't have to wear a mask in a public building or your gym. there's no mandates. And I think this is fish tank talk right here.
Oh.
Yeah. About one doobie into my night last night. I really believe that we could end this whole COVID thing by applying or reapplying or going back to one simple thing that we have crapped all over is return to the respect of individual freedoms. Let's just do that. Let's do everything that guarantees every American has a choice. And he doesn't have to have a vaccine to go to work. He doesn't have a mask to go into a grocery store. He doesn't have to wear a mask in a public building. Just back to personal freedom. You know, we avoided H1N2, '08, '09 or '05, '06?
Something like that, '07, '08.
It was an Obama thing. Yeah. It was during Obama's term. And it was pretty serious. Contagious, but it killed 30,000 or something like that people. But one of the things we avoided, I believe, and I was reading an article that led me to this, we avoided H1N2 from becoming an out of control pandemic by not talking about it. Now, given the reason it wasn't talked about by the mainstream media was to protect Obama. Because you can't talk smack about, you know, there can't be anything going on in Obama's world. He's got this on lock, you know.
Right. That's right.
So it is largely a side effect that we didn't end up screwing with individual freedoms there. Because it wasn't hyped. There was a few news stories here and there. No one's blown out of proportion. Nobody wanted to turn it into a big deal. No one wanted to conquer it and use it politically because they didn't want it to affect Obama.
Right.
Yeah, you got a lot of the way it should have been treated, which was they protected the elderly and the people that have low immune systems.
Right.
And they told everybody else, just continue doing what you do.
Right. And they didn't, and they did not resort to panic porn. They did it the right way, which is even more evidence that the way that this pandemic is handled has been largely political. I mean, when was this? This is November 4th of the this year. Ron DeSantis said, ultimately, people should be able to make these decisions. I don't think people want this decision yanked away from them, and I don't think they want to allow a precedent where the federal government could just come in and force you to do what it wants you to do. And make no mistake about it, those individuals who have been gone through a normal vaccination series for COVID, you will be determined to be unvaccinated very soon. They will do that. They're going to tell you you're unvaccinated until you have to get the until you've had the booster. Otherwise, you could potentially face loss of employment or other types of penalties. Well, the left stream media went bananas. The Independent was like, oh, fact check. DeSantis falsely claims vaccinated citizens without boosters will be declared unvaccinated and lose their jobs. Well, look what's happening.
Yeah.
CDC is now recommending a booster. And if your company has a vaccine mandate or wherever you work has a vaccine mandate, there you're unvaccinated until you have the booster. That's why there's four spaces on your card. Get ready for number four. I still see people online that they can't wait to get their booster. They really want to get their booster as soon as possible.
Yeah, there's a scary amount of people that are gleeful to have as many injections as they possibly can get.
You ever listen to Jim Cramer? That kook? You know Jim Cramer, the TV guy? MSNBC or CNBC? Well, yeah, the financial guy, right? Listen to this guy. He's gone full. I'm sure that Pfizer's involved in sponsoring his show. There's no two ways about it. He's lost his mind.
Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish state's rights issue. The right to get sick and get other people sick.
A foolish state's rights issue.
So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get
military
vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing.
This is insane talk, and I think that that most Americans are panic porn fatigued. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I think after it's, you know, because we've been through a few waves of this, you know. Well, so things are better. Okay, but oh my God, it's coming. I've got it. This other thing. Oh my God, it's an up and now. Oh my God, a new. We got the Delta variant. It's highly contagious. It could be dangerous. Hospitals are filling up everywhere. And now we got Omicron. Omicron. Who? An Israeli immunologist believes that Omicron could be signaling the end of the road for COVID. Because the original, what do they call the original version? Alpha or OG version. That was the most deadly. And then we had the Delta. And now they have the Omicron. Was the Omicron the new? And then they changed it to Omicron? Or was there another one? Because I remember hearing one called NU, new.
There was the Lambda for a little while.
Yeah,
Lambda. And then they skipped the new because they were afraid it was going to be too easy for people to confuse it as new COVID. Like, new from Pfizer, here's new COVID. So they skipped over
brought
it.
Brought to you by Pfizer. New COVID.
What happened to Lambda?
I don't know. What happened to
it wasn't very infectious.
In you. I don't know. Who knows? How do you know what you're not allowed to know what you have? Did you know that? You are not allowed to know what variant you have. Why? I don't know. This guy claims because, you know, the OG was deadly, the Delta was less deadly, the Omicron could be the virus fizzling itself out, right? Is that what they?
Yeah.
Well, he said, in my view, this new variant is the light at the end of the tunnel. This is a variant that's highly infectious, but maybe not as aggressive. And so far, we know that it's a scratchy throat and maybe you're a little sore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where viruses usually settle after a time period, because if they're killing people, then they can't exist anymore. So they find a way just to be infectious and spread as fast as they can. That's how we get the flu every year, is because the most infectious one out of usually it's the same area in China that they can track it back to. And it's the most infectious. That's why it spreads the fastest. We get whatever flu variant over the year.
Yeah, they're packed in like sardines. Yeah. He said, when you look at the future and try to envision how this will end one day, it'll most likely, it's not going to be because we got a fantastic vaccine. It just doesn't work that way. We've had a lot of experience with viruses like the flu. The way that it'll end, he said, in my view, is that when we encounter this new variant that's highly infectious but it's not aggressive, meaning that a lot of people will get infected, but none of them will develop really serious symptoms. And in a sense, that will be the way the population will really gain herd immunity, and then coronavirus will just fade away.
And then on to the next.
You know, doesn't it? I don't know. Yeah, then on to the next pandemic. Let's line one up. Here is what our governor says about the way things are going to go here in Florida. Hold on. I don't want to mix these two up. I got a couple of them in the. Your next president. What's going on? I can't believe this. They always end up taking audio off of these clips that I snag from Twitter. That really sucks.
Well, the CEO is doing his job today, isn't he?
You're right.
Yeah, he is.
Dude, we're going to talk about it. That's dangerous stuff. You know that's all about. It sounds very, you know, just like a little thing. Do you know, if the new Twitter rule goes in where you can't share images or someone else's video without their permission, that means that we would never be, that's all about evidence. That's all about being able to conceal evidence and proof. Without that, no one would have been able to put up, what's the guy? I don't want to forget his name because he's a scumbag murderer. Waukesha, Daryl Brooks.
Brooks.
No one would have been able to see all the racist anti-white crap he had all over his website.
Yeah.
You know, he was praising Hitler and all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah, that's a weird precedent he sent, because it's going to end up with a point where that doctor from South Africa who went on there and said, well, it's not that big of a deal. She did a Twitter video where, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Now you can't share that unless you get her permission.
You can, and so the people that have news like that they want to share, they're going to have to start their video with, you have my permission to share this wherever on whatever platform you want. That's the way it's going to be. This guy is 10 times worse than Dorsey. I can't believe that. Son of a bitch. You think that's what it is? Why can't they?
No, you talk about that censorship stuff. You should read that thing I just sent to you about Australia.
What?
It's insane. They're going to start holding, they want names of people that are posting negative against the government in Australia. So they're commanding Facebook and Twitter to come after these names, like if you tag something with CNN, CNN won't let people like their page in Australia now because they're held liable if you share, you know, information. You got to. It's pretty
holy crap,
pretty intense.
I'm gonna get to that. Here's the president. So far, he's the governor.
That's how it works. The SUV.
Okay. So far, he's the only person in the government that I've heard speak out about the blackout of the Waukesha thing in mainstream media.
Yeah.
And listen, this is why he's going to be president.
Is that how it works? The SUVs, they just drive by themselves? This just kind of happened? And they say, oh, this was a big accident. You never actually hear the discussion about who committed this. What was the motivation? This guy was a career criminal, let out on, didn't really have any bail, basically. Should not have even been on the street. Had clear anti-white animus, and this was an intentional act. And it seems like, you know, for corporate press, they're more apt to characterize a parent who goes to a school board meeting to protest bad policies as a domestic terrorist than somebody who intentionally rams an SUV into a crowd of innocent people. So you have at least six have died. You have many more that have been injured. I know many people are in the hospital. And so let's just be clear. This was not a car just driving in. This was an attack by a felon who did that, who should not have been on the street. And we'll see what the actual motivation was. It very well may have been in response to what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. And you have to wonder if that's the case. Almost assuredly, this guy's view of Rittenhouse was colored by all these media lies. He brought a rifle across state lines. That's a lie. They said that the initial altercation with Jacob Blake, that Blake was unarmed. That's a lie. They covered up Blake's criminal history. And then they said that Rittenhouse shot. And first of all, when you're self-defense, it doesn't matter, you know, kind of what race. But they would say that he shot. Most people didn't know that he shot three white people. People thought. So that's what the media has been doing. And they tend to point a target on law enforcement's back. But this is just wrong. And these lies have got to stop. And if it doesn't fit your narrative, sweeping the facts under the rug is not doing the service that people deserve. It is what we expect, unfortunately, from a lot of these places, but it's wrong. And I think the way they've treated law enforcement across the board over the last 2 years has been an absolute disgrace.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And he's the, you know, I wish there were some way. And I don't want to put anyone in charge. I don't want to, you know, the Ministry of Truth or any of that. And I know that we have freedom of the press for a reason, but I've explained that in the past. The freedom of the press doesn't mean just so you can lie. It was meant so that you can be critical of your government without feeling pressure or without being told what to do or what to say. Not to give the freedom to mislead people. The masses. But you remember the thing? They had it in debates. And it was two lines that scrolled across the screen, right? And there are users somehow, viewers that were judging whether they liked what was being said or where they didn't like what was being said. You know,
yeah.
Have you seen this gizmo? That should be on every TV in America. Then you can watch Don Lemon or Eric's or what's a fat potato Stelter. You can watch that guy, and on the screen, whoever's watching it, you can see whether the masses believe it or disbelieve it.
But then, I mean, you had that, then
you think it would indicate that how many morons are out there believing Brian Stelter?
Well, or either that, they would lie. They figure out how to lie the charts on it, you know?
Yeah, we know there's ways to fiddle with ratings, so they would definitely fiddle with those things as well.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, there was someone around here that was buying, you know, Facebook views there for a while. You know, so.
I don't know what you're talking about. Have you noticed that when anyone from this administration gets up to talk or is questioned about practically every problem they believe in the United States, according to this administration, you can watch the guys on the, I forget, who was the nerd we played a couple of weeks ago or a week ago? They were talking about getting the supply chain issue, I think, going or something. And he said, well, first, we got to get everybody vaccinated. Well, it's like the solution to everything is we got to get everybody vaccinated.
Yeah.
Well, how do we fix the economy? Well, we got to get vaccinated. But it's got to get. Well, what about inflation? Well, vaccination will cure, you know, the everything from the job crisis, the border crisis, empty shelves, all of it. We got to get vaccinated. And. When you have judges that are striking down the mandate, which I don't know that it's, how can they strike down a mandate if they said they're not participating, you know, they're washing their hands of the whole thing. And yet 10 states filed a suit against the administration for the mandate, and they struck it down. Slowly but surely, it's going to become apparent that we should either stop. You know, maybe companies will learn that we need to stop this mandate and let everybody come back to work again. You're going to look like a moron at some point when there's no more COVID, or where, you know, the next variant they pull out of their ass gives you a runny nose and everybody freaks the F out about it. You know, and they turn. Even Biden kind of said, He said, it's nothing to panic about yet, but it's very serious. We should be very concerned about it. And when asked about a lockdowns, he said, well, not now. We're not talking about like lockdowns right now.
But if you go get your vaccine and your booster, you can have a great Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, before we go to break, that reminds me. The good news in New Zealand, have you heard of the good news there?
What?
They've got it so under control there that you can go to your friend's house and pee in his bathroom.
Oh, great.
Yeah, here's the here they are announcing the good news to New Zealanders everywhere.
And importantly, because I know this is a question many Aucklanders have, you can now see family and friends again in their homes and use the bathroom inside.
Wait a second. Does that mean the people are already using the bathroom outside? Man, that is a luxury. You can go to the bathroom indoors now, New Zealanders. That's fantastic. All right. I read this. I don't know how I'm going to get to it. It's kind of sad. Well, it's not really that sad. It's about a young nurse who worked her ass off. They called her a superhero. She tells the story. There are signs all over the hospital. Heroes work here, and thank you, hero. They threw parties for them and pizza. They bought them lunch every day. They treated them well. You know, people on the streets were, yeah, you're great. They were giving them a parade. All these healthcare workers, and now she said, we are treated like scum if we don't get a vaccine. And they make the obvious point. We went through hell. The peak of COVID, we didn't have a vaccine, but we risked our lives and busted our hump in these hospitals that were overrun, and now we're douchebags because we don't want to get a vaccine. She said, a year ago, I was a hero. She's only 21. A year ago, I was a hero. Now, I'm treated like scum. That's terrible. All right, we got to take a break. I want to tell you, remember the issue in Colorado where the guy couldn't get some type of heart transplant or liver transplant or whatever because he wasn't vaccinated. So they took him off the list and he was going to die until Governor Abbott in Texas said, look, you can come down to our transplant centers. There's no vaccine nonsense. I haven't heard the wrap up of that story, but I'll tell you a story when I get back about a guy who could not get his lung transplant. His life-saving lung transplant because he wasn't vaccinated. And then he went got vaccinated, and he died of the vaccine. While waiting to get his lung transplant. Jesus. I got a whole... This is a treatment study, early treatment study analysis of 1,162 different studies. Because there's not enough studies on ivermectin. There's no studies on that. I'm gonna list a bunch of different drugs you've never heard of that are highly successful. Some of them are expensive. Some of them are a dollar. Ivermectin's in the top five. I'll tell you it's in the top three. I don't know what, but he's definitely in the top three. Captain Dan O'Brien is at the ready with his own personal phone, cell phone attached to his body for your call. 407-468-6429 is the telephone number. You know, you could save a lot of money even if you have a mortgage in the threes. It's quite possible. You won't know until you call Dan, though. And what a great time to do it before we get clonked on the head with some higher rates when the Fed raises it. Because of this inflation, we can't keep printing this money forever and ever. Use the equity in your home, and it's probably a lot more than you last checked. Use that equity to pay off some higher interest debt, a car loan, a credit card, and improve your home, you know, add a pool or whatever. You're going to save hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month, tens of thousands over the life of the loan. If you're 5 years in, you don't want to start over, that's not a deal breaker. Dan could do a custom term for you, and he's got the same big fat cat wholesale lender Rolodex that the guys on TV have. You'll just work with Dan. It makes it a very easy, simple, straightforward process. He's with you every step of the way until it's done. He's licensed in Georgia. He's a VA loan specialist. Look, all the big guys from Zillow to Fannie Mae to Nerd Wallet predict long-lasting upward trend and rates as high as 3.99% by next year. Do it now. Get it off your shoulders. Emerald Mortgage Partners, what's his number? 407-468-6429. NMLS number 337465. All right, stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. And I hate to be in Australia right now. They are introducing legislation to make social media giants provide details of users who post defamatory comments. That's a gray area, you know? I mean, is it defamatory to say Kamala Harris is the worst vice president in the history of the United States?
Banned.
Or is it a fact?
Banned.
Yeah, you're banned now.
She has the lowest approval rating of any vice president. That's a fact.
I think that's the way you'd have to put it, though. You would have to put she has the lowest, but if you put she is the worst vice president, then they would, that's a ban.
But even if you word it like that, they're going to say that this is false news because they'll pull up a news organization that they trust and say this is false news.
The government in Australia has been looking at the extent of the responsibility platforms like Twitter and Facebook have for defamatory material published on their sites after their high court ruled that publishers can be held liable for public comments on online forums. They don't have the protection in Australia that they have here.
No.
They say the online world should not be a wild west where bots and bigots and trolls and others are anonymously going around and can harm people. That's not what can happen in the real world, and there's no case for it to be happening in the digital world. They're going to introduce complaints mechanisms so that if anybody believes they've been defamed, bullied, or attacked on social media, they'll be able to require the platform to take the material down.
You know where this got slowly built up, and people were 100% for it because all that was where they ran those anti-bullying campaigns. Where they said, well, you know, you can't bully a person online. And the corporations went, well, they can't bully us either. So we're going to have that be a part of it.
Right.
So now you went from you can't call someone an idiot on Facebook, which, you know, you've been banned before for 10 minutes for calling someone something on Facebook before.
Yeah. One of my favorite.
In the comment section. And now that it's gotten to the point where you can't say Kim Kardashian is plastic. And they'll ban you for that because
can you say Kim Kardashian's ass is larger than the average woman's ass?
You would have to bring stats behind that.
I have my ass expert, Jeff Adams, right here, Mr. Zuckerberg.
It's pretty big.
that at that point, what's the fun? That means that if you have an opinion that's harsh about somebody, that you had to be taken down. Conveniently, this comes around after the Trump presidency.
Again, I mean, it's going to take getting off these platforms and supporting platforms that let you have free speech. You're not going to get fact-checked on everything. Where you can have an opinion about or something or somebody, you know. It's sad because, you know, Facebook here in the United States is going to cracking down on this. And they said they're going to get rid of these memes. If you're, like, sharing memes, the funny memes, if you didn't have the you know, if it wasn't your photograph, copyright infringement stuff, you'll get flagged for that. Any political person that you go after, if you say Biden is a decrepit
old man. Wait a second. Right now, I can't say that this is the worst president we've ever had.
Well, for instance, we were talking about this at break.
He's a public figure, for the love of God. Yeah. He's a president of the United States of America that happens to have a constitution.
Yeah. But for instance, I shared that Hunter Biden book story over the weekend, and I'm like, I shared it directly from the New York Post to Facebook, and it was like 2 likes on it. And I know the audience,
yeah,
with
I did the same thing, and I got like I got no comments and 2 likes. And I know that my audience on Facebook, especially or Twitter, I know exactly what you know what they like and don't like.
I can say I follow both of you and did not see that at all this weekend.
Post no kidding.
It. Nope.
But I post a picture of my cat and
likes the lore. Yeah. Now I'm getting ads for litter and litter boxes and cat food. That's really, really dangerous stuff. You know, I don't know how. Well, I do know how, but I wonder if the whole time that the advent of social media and when people realized how addictive it was and how much control you had controlling the content as a was it like from there, like, oh, hot damn, we've got it. We're gonna roll this in to some. We'll be doing a lot of omission. We'll be kicking a lot of people off whose opinions we don't like. We'll be marking a lot of things as fake. A pandemic's gonna roll in, and then the only thing you'll see on social media is what liberals want you to see.
Yeah, and that, again, that's when we're gonna have to get the cojones and say, look, even if whatever we have to say on these platforms, people are not reading it or seeing it or listening to it. We have to just say, I'm out. I'm going to delete my account and walk away from this.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't wait for Trump's platform to come out. I mean, I said that about Lindell's platform, but I was kind of a little disappointed about that a little bit. But
yeah,
hopefully Trump brings all the bells and whistles to everything that we're used to in a Facebook, Twitter experience.
We hit the cough button. Here are some, this is a study. Analysis of 30 COVID-19 early treatments from a database of 231 potentials done in 67 countries. 67 countries have approved early treatments. We're not one of them, except for one. Treatments do not replace vaccines. This is their little disclaimer. No treatment or vaccine is an intervention 100% available, effective, blah, blah, blah. Denying efficacy in this increases the risk of COVID-19 becoming an endemic. Here we go. This is all the studies combined, the pooled effects, all stages. The number one most effective one here is Paxlovid at 95% effective.
Wow.
It costs $700. I think that's the Merck. I think it's one of the Merck deals. Then you have an experimental prolaxamide that probably Pfizer's. The cost is not available because it's not out yet. And then you have something called Iota Carage, 80% effective. There's been one study only with 394 patients. It costs a dollar.
Wow.
Ivermectin. 67 studies, 49,516 patients, 67% effective, $1.
Ding.
Then you get down to stuff I've never even heard of. A lot of these are not even on the market, but the cost of, here's one, it's just as effective as ivermectin. It's called Sotrovimab. That is one of the pills. I think that's the name of one of the pills being developed. It's just as effective, 67%. There's only been one study done and 583 patients instead of 50,000 with ivermectin. Its cost for treatment, $2,100.
Good grief. I want to know, like, in each pill, if they could take each pill and break down what exactly is in those pills. Because I bet you the core base is ivermectin.
Absolutely. You damn right there's ivermectin in there. I guarantee you. The minute it comes out, some pinhead is going to put it under a microscope or test it or whatever. They're going to find ivermectin in it.
Hey, Cloyd, it's ivermectin.
We found out it's 90% ivermectin and 10% vitamin D. There's other things on here. Melatonin's on there, 64% effective.
Melatonin?
Yeah, melatonin is 64% effective in 11 studies, 13,500 patients, $1. Molnupiravir. Molnupiravir is the Merck pill, right?
Yes.
It's only 55% effective. It's been through only 5 studies. It's on 2,700 patients, and it's $700 for the treatment.
I'll go with $1. $1, Bob.
And the convalescent plasma, they've got it at the bottom of the list. They have it at a -1% effective. And it costs $5,000 per treatment.
Good night. I mean, I haven't had a need for ivermectin lately, but is it still short on demand around here? Because I knew DeSantis was working on something to get it back in the...
Not my pharmacy.
No?
I don't go to that one. Don't tell him. Yeah, I take it prophylactically a couple times a week, and I've got... I'm getting ready to refill it here pretty soon. Poor guy has to get a lung transplant. 49-year-old guy survived COVID once, so he had antibodies, but they still would not do the transplant without a vaccine. In order to be approved for the double lung transplant, Amy Boland says her husband had to be fully vaccinated for COVID, even though he had had the virus and recovered. After his second Moderna shot, he developed pulmonary embolisms and a heart condition. His heart began to swell, and he died before he could get the lungs.
Thanks, guys.
It's up is down and down is up, man. It is, you know.
It's sad.
It really, really is. And it's even sadder, or more sad, rather, that half of America is marching to this beat right now. Jim Cramer wants the military to administer vaccines to you.
And if you don't get it, you get the guillotine.
And if you don't have the vaccine, he says you're immunosuppressed. I mean, that doesn't mean you're immunosuppressed. It just means you're not vaccinated.
Yeah, how many people do you see every day where you pull the Twitter post all the time where it's, if people have the vaccine, we probably should just kill them because it's better off without the world without them here.
Well, I shared a post that probably no one saw it on Facebook about someone who said that we ought to line them up in front of holes that we've dug and shoot them.
New World Order stuff.
Yeah, that's Nazi stuff. They dig a giant grave. They line the unvaccinated. That's what the book. I'm going to find it for you. I'll tell you the turd who wrote it too. What I've said this all along, and thank God for Jeffrey Mueller, Dr. Jeffrey Mueller, who came in and gave us a lesson on stuff that to help our immune system, you know, and gave us lists of things. There is a if you're not taking a vitamin D supplement right now, you need to start taking one.
Yeah.
They've done a number of tests here, and 120 experts in the U.S. and the U.K. sent an open letter to world governments stating that there is clear evidence that vitamin D reduces COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Vitamin D. It's right there on the shelf at Publix. D3. It's a gel. It's a gel thing, a gel cap deal. D3.
Crystal gel.
No one ever. Why didn't Fauci say that in the beginning of this thing? You know, why weren't we told in the beginning of this thing, all right, you need to bump up your immune systems with, what, are they afraid that there's be a run on vitamin C and a run on, because of the big pharma is not going to make a ton of money off of Nature's Choice vitamin C caplets.
These guys are controlled. They're controlled.
Yeah, that's the part that has always been so mind-blowing about this whole thing is the fact that how often they want you to take a vaccine instead of treating it.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
you don't ever hear them treating
right
COVID.
And we all know there's study after study. I don't know. Let me see if hydroxychloroquine is on here because I've read a couple of studies on you know these countries that are beating their COVID-19 problem with such basic stuff. Hydroxychloroquine only 25% effective. That's 298 studies, 413,000 patients.
Wow,
ivermectin 67%, 67 studies. 40, almost 50,000 patients, it costs a dollar. Well, it doesn't cost a dollar now. I mean, it's supposed to cost a dollar, but because it's become a hot potato, it's really not a dollar anymore. I forget. You know you paid for your prescription, don't you?
Yeah, it was pretty high.
Yeah.
Because it was in demand.
I wonder if the price has come down. I need to call mine in. Moderna CEO says, quote, "This is not going to be good." He's turning up the panic machine. CEO Stefan Bancel left no doubt whether he's taking this glass half. It's half empty to him. They're already working on a vaccine. So, of course, he's out there pumping it up that this Omicron is going to be terrible. He said the current vaccines. No, they're not going to work on this Omicron. I think it's going to be a material drop in their effectiveness. We need to wait for the data, but all scientists I've talked to are like, this is not going to be good. Do you see where they're 5 billion and, Pfizer's profits? I mean, first quarter was 5 billion. Second quarter was 5 billion.
Then there's probably somewhere down that line that Fauci's name's attached to one of those, several of those companies.
Oh,
little kickbacks.
I guarantee you. I guarantee you half of Congress is heavily invested in Moderna and Pfizer. My thing doesn't work. Who is that?
That's Amy.
Will you put them on?
Yes.
Amy, thanks for the call. How are you?
Hey, good. It's Penis Game Amy.
Well, hey, babe. What's happening?
Hey, I'm just learning of a new preventative for COVID, and it's a very common antidepressant, Prozac.
I heard that, too.
Studies on it. Yeah. And luckily for me, I've been taking it. Amongst other things.
Yeah. Is that fluvoxamide or something like that?
Fluoxetine is a generic form, but it's okay. Just a very common antidepressant.
Yeah. It's right here on the list, 38%. And five studies, a couple of thousand patients, $4. You're probably paying a little bit more for that.
But I've been taking it for years, so maybe that's why I haven't caught it yet.
Stinking aspirin is on the list at a 20% effective rate of protecting against COVID. At 80,000 patients in 23 studies. And no one told you on TV to take an aspirin, a little low-dose aspirin once a day, did they?
Bear.
Yeah. A-hole. Don't coddle your immune system, man. Go out there and roll in dirt.
Amen,
all right,
sister.
You take care.
Thanks, babe. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you. Fact. I heard a couple of interesting theories today. One of them, one of them's being taken kind of seriously as a nuclear, option going into 2024. The Dems are hopeless. You know, they know that, but the Joe's not going to run again. There's no way America's going to vote for him anymore. What are they going to do with Kamala? Someone's come up with a solution. They're going to appoint her to the Supreme Court, leaving an opening for vice president that would leave the Congress to appoint a vice president.
Yeah, I've seen this theory thrown around a couple times. Yeah,
and that's what they're trying to get. Who are they trying to get? Justice Breyer to step down. Somebody over there. They're trying to talk him into stepping down. He's like, hey, I got this job till I don't want it any longer.
Right.
So you could suck it.
That was kind of the whole theory that they were going to try to add the extra. Court members was to put her as one of them.
I mean, they expand the court?
Yeah.
Just for her?
Well, to give a place to put her.
We are living in a sitcom, man.
It is.
That would solve their problem. You know,
does it solve our problem though to put her on the Supreme Court?
No.
But who would they put in for vice president?
Hillary.
You think so?
Did you see that funny Babylon Bee?
No.
We finally got the picture. It's hysterical.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I saw it. Hold on. Yeah, I'll just tell her. I'll get to it in a minute. It says that the Department of Justice has hired. Top Italian prison guard Hiluigi Clintonella to guard Maxwell. They got a picture of her in a guard uniform. They put a big old mustache on her. We'll play some audio. This is Cruz. Cruz and Fauci have a thing going for each other back and forth. I don't blame them. I think that America, did you see that right before the Thanksgiving, they polled to see who you'd rather have over for Thanksgiving dinner, Fauci or Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan won by like 15 points.
That's why Fauci released the new variant, because he was upset about that.
Yeah, I'll show you. I got a new variant in my pocket right here. So Fauci and Cruz are back and forth. Fauci wants to somehow wrap him into the Capitol riot on January 6th. That alone should be enough to fire him. He's a bureaucrat. You shouldn't be saying things like that. You certainly shouldn't attack a member of the Senate, the United States Senate, like that. I mean, it's if he thinks he can slap around senators like that, then he's gotten too big for his britches. You know what I mean? Oh, he works for us. So Cruz had something to say, as you can probably imagine.
You know, Dr. Fauci, I think, is the most dangerous bureaucrat in the history of the country. He talked a moment ago, you just played about hurting science. I don't think anyone has hurt science, has hurt the credibility of the CDC, has hurt the credibility of doctors more than Dr. Fauci.
There's more of that. I'll play when we get back. We'll yank it when we get back. Also, I do want to talk a little bit more about the Twitter rule, because I think it's, it is a signal to get the F off of Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I use it. I won't post if I get the F off of it. I'll use it just to suck information and news and audio from. But
right.
And we got to decide where we're all going. You know what I mean?
Quickly.
And we'll get to the Chris Cuomo thing. I think they might fire Chris Cuomo by the end of the week. And for good reason. He's taken to the Clinton playbook. We'll talk about that when we get back. And also, it's time to yank it with Yofre. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Sad little man sitting deep in a lie. He's dead in his soul, but he'll keep you alive. Do what he says, not what he does. This for him and the lie is for you. Sad little man, but he's treated like a god. As the faithless prayer to a fake and a fraud. Worship the man, pledge to his word. One shot, two shot, now you get a third. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know you can. Trap you like a dog, put your head in a net while they eat you raw. Don't ask why, just comply, cause fear is the drug that the doc prescribed. Sad little man, you can watch him on the news, preaching to his choir while they learn the rules. Some feel safe and some feel healed, but they'll all hold his hand as he makes the kill. Sad little man, sad little man, you better run. Your kids, some might live while the rest get sick. So put them to the test and listen for the yell. When the truth comes out, he's gonna burn in hell. Sad little man, sad little man, you better run now while you know.
I just realized something. With the new Twitter rule, you won't be able to share pictures of Hunter Biden's Skittle penis anymore.
No.
Well, not unless you get his permission. This is terrible, terrible censorship, man. It's awful. It's all about controlling the narrative and not giving you a platform for evidence or proof.
Right.
You know, you could say that guy, Daryl Brooks, a real bad guy, and I mean, will you not be able to call him he's not a public figure. You can call him a POS, right?
Well, and then he could come after you for bullying him, though.
Can you, yeah. Well, people tapped into his Facebook and found pro-Hitler memes, him calling for violence against white people. It really took a U-turn to the narrative, man, and that'll be shut down. You won't be able to share it anymore, and no one will know. Other than maybe his criminal record, because it's of public record, you'll be able to share that, but you won't be able to share the fact that he loves Hitler and wants to kill white people.
You won't even be able to show that sweet music video he did in front of the car that he ran grannies over with.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You won't have been able to read this post. So when we start back knocking white people the F out, I don't want to hear it. The old white people, too, knock them the F out, period.
You heard?
Yeah, you heard? All that stuff you won't be able to share. You won't be able to say, well, here's the kind of guy he is. Ah, no, do you have his permission? No, then you can't share. And if anyone wants something shared, like if I wanted a video shared, I would have to begin the video with, you have my permission to share this video, right?
Yeah. You're going to need disclaimers in front of all videos.
If, I mean, it's really coming down to, you know, I think the right's going to catch up with media. People, you know, there's websites, but, you know, this big machine of the bigger media companies. I think there's going to be two sides. I mean, it's just constantly, there's going to be one side, left and right, and there's going to be no middle ground anymore. And there's going to be some people, like a Joe Rogan, to stand in the middle of the ground and kind of like, you know, his views. But like from the media standpoint, like when
there's
Trump.
There's no safety in that middle ground anymore. He speaks sense, and he's constantly attacked by transgender people and the LGBTQ people, blah, blah, blah. You know, he talks. If you say that the pronoun, chosen pronoun thing is nonsense, you won't be able to share that anymore.
Right. But I mean, that's what it's coming down to. I mean, it's really coming down to where it's a big divide. And I don't ever see it in healing anytime soon.
Yeah, I do. With my foot up their ass. All right, let's yank it with your free, shall we?
Yanked it yet? It's time to yank it with your free.
China!
Let me ask you that.
China!
Let me ask you that.
China!
Let me ask you that.
China!
It's a Tuesday. Live on the air. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Beatle documentary here. in case we missed anything. No, I Ed Till was talking about the Beatle documentary earlier.
How long is this thing?
Listen, I
love the Beatles. I don't know if I want to sit through it.
I'm the same way. I said, you know what? I go, this could be very interesting. I was like looking forward to it. I turned 10 minutes of it and I said, I gotta turn this off. You know, it's really cool the way they remastered everything. It looks like it was just shot, actually. But it's just meaningless conversation. Like
between the bandmates?
You'll see Paul McCartney pick his nose. I mean, you'll see all this stuff. And I just said,
that's all it is? It's not narrated or?
No, it's just them talking conversations. And
the whole thing?
Yeah, it's like and it goes on for, I think it's like a 4-hour documentary.
It's 8 hours.
8 hours. And I was like, I can't do this. I watched 10 minutes of it. I go, I love the Beatles, but I can't do this.
It's 3 2.5-hour documentary pieces to it.
Good. 2.5 hours is too long for a TV program. You know, don't you think?
And then you just hear them talk.
I knew it would be so long.
John.
I knew it would be so boring.
You know, we get the, But it's just, I don't know. I don't know how people, I guess you have to really... I thought I was a big Beatle fan. For me to turn my nose at that and just said, I just don't have the time to watch this. I just don't.
Is this the Paul McCartney one, Beatles 1, 2, 3? This is a different one.
This is a different one.
How many Beatles can we take?
Yeah, this Beatle documentary is on Disney Plus. The other one you're talking about is on Hulu. And that's with the music producer, Rick Rubin. And they go through the old Beatle Masters. And get their take and turn things down. That's pretty cool. But this one is just like, I don't know. And then I was talking about, I think it was like the night before Thanksgiving, I was watching, I downloaded Paramount Plus. I haven't paid for it, but you can download the app and you can watch things for free.
I need to do that. But I'm missing between Yellowstone and Mayor of Kingstown, which I'm starting to really get into.
Yeah.
I'm unclear on it. I need to be able to go back. The only way you can watch them on demand is if you have the Plus.
Yeah, and I said, man, the power of marketing. I didn't even think about downloading Paramount Plus at all. And so I saw this ad on Instagram, and it was the most stupidest ad because I used to watch a show back in the day. It was the Real World Reunion, Los Angeles. And I was like, what the hell? Paramount Plus? So I went download and watched the first episode, and I go, my God, these people have not changed, and they're in their early
Real
50s.
World?
Yes.
From the 90s?
Yes.
Was Puck there?
Puck was not there. Oh. I think Puck was San Francisco. This one was a L.A. reunion, and one guy got kicked out of the house, got accused of rape, and they started talking about that again. He just pulled a sheet off this girl that was in the bed, and they were all laughing about it, and then they accused him as a rapist, and they kicked him out of the house years ago. And so they're reliving this stuff, and the guy still won't let it go, and this woman won't let it go. And I just saw the first episode. I go, man, I got to get a Paramount Plus. This is good. It's just sad that they have to, you know, Real World was the, they invented reality television,
right,
you know.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool stuff on Paramount Plus that I'm thinking about just getting the $4.99 to avoid the commercials, because there's just so much content on there. So much good stuff.
Paramount Plus, is that's the only way you can watch some stuff there, Paramount stuff in on demand, right?
Yeah, but you have to sit through commercials like you're watching regular TV sometimes. Oh, you have to go through all these ads.
No, you still got
to
pay for the so you're paying to subscribe plus $4.99.
Yeah,
for
$4.99 has limited commercials, and then if you get $9.99, you don't get any commercials. So it might be $14.99.
I think there's two different apps you need to watch for, because there's a Paramount and then a Paramount Plus. And I think if you can't watch the Yellowstone ones are on the Paramount, not the Plus.
Oh, that's, love of God.
That's horrible.
Together. Oh, someone says, Nathan, North Georgia says Yellowstone is not on Paramount.
Yeah, I remember hearing Sponge complaining about that, because he had the same issue.
So where do you watch it? Does Paramount have it on demand?
I think there's a regular Paramount app that you can get, and then there's a Paramount Plus.
Okay, Yellowstone's not on a Paramount Plus, it's on Paramount app.
Well, so which one do I have? I've got, let me just look at it right now.
That's how they get you, right there.
I've got Paramount Plus on the app, right there, the free version.
Yeah.
And so you go through there, and you can, I didn't sign in, I didn't do that, so I just said, I don't want to do that. It said, like, watch later, but watch free episodes. You click that, and you can watch some of these shows, you know, that's got commercials in it.
All right.
But I like it. I don't know if it's $9.99 worthy yet, but.
So you actually need to get the one that says Paramount Network.
Paramount Network.
Yes. Okay.
That is, why do that? It's just,
that's how they get you.
That's stupid. Well, this is an interesting story. Jack Dorsey, he stepped down yesterday as CEO of Twitter. But he, for his birthday, he went to a silent retreat. Where you can't use tech or make eye contact with anyone.
What? That guy's a weirdo. I pulled a story about him. He hangs out with Sean Penn. He dates primarily supermodels. I mean, hot ass bitches. And he is a holistic weirdo who goes into extreme heat situations, extreme cold situations to meditate. And I have a picture of him meditating in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, and I like the, if you saw before he did Twitter, he wanted to be like a fashion guy. He used to have purple hair, looked like a surfer from, like a purple-haired skateboarder from like the 90s, you would think of.
And you know, you think
about. Each his own.
Yeah, you think about this and you realize what tech has done to this individual. I mean, he spent 10 days, no devices, no reading, writing, physical exercise, no music.
Wait.
No alcohol, no drugs.
No physical exercise, no.
You
can't read a book?
No meat, no talking, or even eye contact with others. 10 days.
They come out there more effed up than ever.
And he says, it's freeing. He says, I woke up at 4 a.m. every day, and we meditated until 9 p.m. There were breaks for breakfast, lunch, and walking, no dinner. The sidewalks, he walked 45 minutes every day. Dorsey added, sharing another photo of the tranquil place before he went there. It was a small little retreat where you don't make eye contact with anybody.
How's not making eye contact with people is a fault?
Isn't like
that messes with your brain?
Yeah. Why can't you make eye contact?
Yeah,
because you might find the person attractive, and they come back to your hut and bang a little bit.
I think it's I was going to say that it is a Dalai Lama type of deal. I think there's when you do the retreats, and you're not supposed to make eye contact with anybody, and not talk and have a time of silence. Someone explained it to me that his dad was a Dalai Lama. This guy lives in Mount Dore. He used to work in the music industry, so I know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot about the.
His dad was a Dalai Lama.
Yes.
Okay. Isn't there the Dalai Lama?
Yes, there is a Dalai Lama.
But there's several other Dalai Lamas?
Yes.
That are approved by the Dalai Lama.
Right.
So like a vice Dalai, like associate Dalai Lama.
Yes. I always wondered in that world, though, what happens to those tech guys when they get that powerful of tech? Why do they all become weirdos? I mean, look at Zuckerberg was kind of just a frat douche before he got Facebook, and now he's a robot.
He's obsessed by Caesar.
Yeah.
That's why he cuts his hair like that.
But he has to wear the full zinc, and you ever seen the videos of him trying to ride a surfboard? So, I mean, what happens to those tech guys?
Yeah, one word. Satan.
I think they realize how much power they hold in their hands, and it makes them a little crazy. You know?
Yeah, it's made Bill Gates crazy. It did. What did it do to the McAfee virus guy? Made him absolutely insane.
Oh, that guy totally Nazi cuckoo.
Wow. I think it's demons.
So yeah. I read that Jack Dorsey's a billionaire now.
Yeah, he's a pretty wealthy guy.
But hasn't Twitter never turned a profit? Have they turned a profit? Are they?
Well, he turned profit. I'm not sure about Twitter.
I remember I opened my first bar, and I was going to Office Depot to buy a bunch of printer and this and that. And I had the lady said, "If you are you a nonprofit business?" I said, "I was last month." She's like, "Oh, so that means no?" I said, "Yeah, that was a joke, honey."
Well, the world's best Apple expert reveals exact year iPhone will become obsolete. There, he's basically saying that...
Who's saying this?
The world's best Apple expert.
Oh, okay.
And so he's saying basically by 2032, there'll be no more iPhones. There'll be this new compatible gadget. And what else could it be without a device? So the only thing I'm thinking, it's going to be implanted into your body somehow.
No, it's not.
Oh, you ain't going to talk to anybody.
Oh, that's good. So you won't be able to communicate with anyone unless you have this something implanted.
Right. They're going to stop
making
iPhones.
How's it going to be a more all-encompassing device? Everything is on. This is the more computing power in my iPhone than the Apollo space mission.
Well, you look at augmented reality that's happening with the goggles. Now they're talking about making it with your regular. Google Glass came out with the first, but you have where you can walk around. You walk down a Publix aisle and click things, and automatic things pop out. Like, hey, I'm looking for pepperoni. Pepperoni pops out. But I mean, that's where it's going. It's scary because you know we talk about vaccine mandates, but you're going to talk about a chip mandate. Oh, you're not going to be able to buy food or transactions without the chip.
They're going to have to figure out a way to make it so my phone doesn't drop a call when I cross over the bridge before I'm going to inject myself with a chip.
But I mean, that's crazy stuff. I
can't imagine what the he doesn't say anything about it. It's just a new all-encompassing device. That's all he called
it. A new device. The iPhone's going to be gone. So the only thing I think, iPhones are pretty cool. I can't imagine getting
smaller.
How else
can you talk to somebody in a phone call without holding a phone to your head?
This way.
Like you push this. The button on the side of your head.
Hello. Mm-hmm. And you hear him.
Then you can always fake people out, the annoying people that want to talk to you. You say, oh, I got a call coming in. Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
But you got to think about that, too. If you have like telemarketers calling you and stuff like that, if it's attached into your head, you're going to have a lot of crazy people because you're going to constantly be bombarded by phone calls or people trying to contact you or text you. I mean, there has to be a silent button or something because you always will have the internet a part of you, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Then you're on the metaverse. You're in the metaverse.
Exactly. That's exactly where it's going.
I don't want to be in the metaverse. Can I opt out?
I don't know about that.
I'll go live in the countryside somewhere. I'll build a cabin on Brandy Love's property up north.
And boy,
and live off the fat of the land.
How many times did I see that metaverse commercial during football all weekend long? They played that thing every break of that one that's like in an art museum, and then it doesn't make any sense. And then it's like Meta, and you're.
What would happen if they said the metaverse is coming, the metaverse is coming, the metaverse is coming, and you're like, wow, where's the metaverse? And then you wake up one morning, and it's like, you're in the metaverse already. And you're like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. And Zuckerberg goes, you didn't read the fine print, mm-hmm. did you, when you signed or acknowledged our agreements? You're trapped in here forever.
Well, you think about all this, not to go conspiracy corner here, but you really think about this. Everything with the mandates, we're being kind of like prodded a little bit. They're going to see who like does this, but I believe in the metaverse will be a whole new reality where everybody is connected all at once and being controlled by a entity. Eventually,
I've seen this. It's called the Matrix. We're all human batteries.
Yeah. Well, there will be something that controls us all. And if you're not part of the metaverse, then you will be exiled to a prison, a isolation camp, and you will be shot and killed
in a hole.
Yes, I mean there's biblical revelation stuff in that. But
don't you think that at some point, at least Americans would stand up to something like that, or would somebody go, "Oh, this metaverse sounds great! I can't wait to get in there." Like my cousin says, "I can't wait to get these injections."
Well, exactly. I mean, you say like the conservative church would like, oh, they're stand up, but the conservative church, the pastors are the first one to jump on social media and go, look, people we can reach here. God bless it, man. We're on Facebook, Twitter, hashtag Instagram,
and our YouTube channel. Hot now. Praise the Lord.
We have a virtual church. Many people come to Christ through the live stream. I saw this. I knew a lot of when you text message somebody, you can unlock cool effects. Like you message somebody, like if you wish someone happy birthday, it does like this happy birthday thing. Well, I saw some of these, and then some of them I didn't know. I tried it on my kids.
In the metaverse is real confetti showers. Your friend will be out their desk working.
Yeah. But I mean, there's one. There's one I did that I didn't know. I tried it on my kids today. It was a pew pew. So it's a capital P E W, lowercase p, and it just does like this laser light show. Goes. It's pretty rad. But there's other ones you do. Happy birthday balloons.
And yeah.
Congratulations confetti. Happy New Year fireworks. Happy Chinese year. It's a red explosion. I'll go figure that one. The red.
Wow. Yeah, that's
red.
Weird.
Yeah,
the red.
They're coming for us. But yeah, that's try that out. There's a whole bunch of different little.
That's on Facebook.
Yeah, if you do like love, a large heart bulges from your message. There's.
Let me ask you something about this metaverse.
Yeah.
Will we be? Is it something we're going to sign up for?
I think it's something you're going to buy because that's how they do it.
Device thing you put on.
Yeah.
Did you log into Facebook? You already signed up for it.
Yeah, probably.
You're in there.
Or are they going to give it to you for free? Yeah, you know, if you're still on Facebook. Hey, we're going to just.
Yeah, they gave me Facebook for free. Look how that ended up.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
I mean, you're not going to have any personal contact anymore. Everybody's going to have these devices on their head. And
can you have metaverse sex with strangers?
Probably so, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't feel it because you.
That's Jenna goes, I'm in now.
where I sign up for this metaverse? Let's get what's going on here.
this lady seems to have the right idea because I think about this. And there's. Many family members that have great hospitality. I mean, like the Burke family invited me over to Thanksgiving dinner. It was wonderful. But I get where this lady's coming from, but then I don't understand where she's coming from. She is charging $70 a head for her Christmas dinner for her family and friends.
Is this insane bitch who did it last year? Or some other lady did it last year. Or it was for Thanksgiving dinner. You charge your family members?
Yes.
Can I just bring a casserole?
what she said.
There's no way I'm eating $70 worth of food at a Thanksgiving dinner. Retail food that you bought at the Publix. Yeah.
Well, Helen Robinson, 43, she's a admin assistant from, she's over in England. And she said the COVID Christmas thing was not a big deal. But the 2 years prior, she went in credit card debt to feed all of her big family. And she says, enough with this. She goes, I'm not going to go in the hole financially when no one else does any of the work. I'm preparing all the food. I buy all the food. And people are taking leftovers out the door. I'm going to charge them $70 a head. And if they don't like it, they don't show up. I'm not fitting the bill for all this.
What if they're having a rough patch financially? They can't go to your Christmas dinner?
No.
Let me tell you what. If I'm paying for it, I'm going to be real picky, too. When it shows up, I'm going to taste. Well, no, I'm not paying for that. That's terrible. Take that off my bill.
I know, right?
And you're going to get some pie. You know, like, take that off my bill. You can't. Is it a la carte? Or is it it's a prefix menu.
Prefix menu, whatever she cooks, you're putting in your body.
No, stupid. Well, what happened to,
spreading it out, like, hey.
Yeah, I agree you shouldn't go into debt, but tell your family, listen, I went into credit card debt for you lazy bums last year. Now, you bring a casserole, right. You bring this, you bring that, you bring, you know, and spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. You bring your own bottle, booze, whatever you got
to
do.
Sounds like she's trying to make a buck, really. It's $70?
Mm-hmm. It better be, like.
What was the average cost of a Thanksgiving meal? I know it went up, but was it $50-something for a family of four, right?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Roundabout.
She may make a lot of money. That would weed out the, keep the riffraff out, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much eliminate all the freeloaders and the people that cause the problem.
So is Uncle Teddy going to show up at the door and ring the doorbell? And everybody going to go, hey, old chap. I'm a little light this month, and then just slam the door. Sorry.
Be like George Jefferson.
Merry Christmas. Right in his face.
Yeah, it was, according to the Farm Bureau, it was for a feast of 10, was $53.31 for an average price, or less than $6 a person.
Wow.
So.
She's making some money.
Wow. She really is. Or maybe some lavish meal.
It better be.
And that story, because I was thinking, I go, she didn't say anything about booze. She said the dinner. So I'm assuming that the $70.
It better be open bar.
Cover. Yeah, open
bar.
$70.
And then she's sorry she invited me at $70.
Who drank all the Tito's? I'm pissed. Well, Tiger Woods did a little press conference. And he basically told the press conference, he did, he had an accident on February 23rd, yes. Car crash, about totaled everything.
He can't be fully recouped from that, can he?
He says he is, he goes, I can show up, I host an event, I can play a three-par course, I can hit a few shots, I can chip and putt. But he said Tuesday, but we're making, you're talking about me going out there and playing a game against the best in the world. He goes, I'm not sure I'm able to do that or right now. So he hasn't ruled out that he's going to retire.
I can go out right now and play a game with the best in the world.
With a
yeah,
with that golf?
Absolutely. I'll lose my ass, but I can play with them. You know, I got to dig up some old golf clubs somewhere. So he says, and he's probably done, right? I mean,
you think that, but
he just endorsed his way the rest of his life. Do a couple of, yeah, like he said, hosted event. What does that mean, hosted event? It's like we show up at a car dealership?
Yeah. Tiger Woods event, you know?
It's me, Tiger Woods. I'll be out at the Honda dealership.
And, I think it might go after the seniors.
Noon to 2 on Sunday. Balloons for the kids.
What? I think he might grab to the seniors. I think he's going to hold out and see if he can play in the seniors at some point when he feels a little bit better. But he had that back surgery he overcame. Yeah.
And I don't know how many broken bones he had in his legs. They're shattered pretty much, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can he stand up?
Yeah, he's walking.
Can he get a hard on?
I don't know about that.
Well, that's an LA he's walking. He'll be able to walk and be able to have an erection. Well, that's all he needs.
You got to go find the Perkins nearest house to find that answer.
Well, that's it for Yank and Yo for today.
All right.
Doggy do on his shoes.
There are, believe it or not, updates coming out of the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Written stuff. The pilot showed up. Her sister's there, I guess. What is her sister there in support of her? I don't know. The pilot, Epstein's pilot showed up. Let's see these shoes this guy's wearing. He's either so stylistically hip beyond my comprehension, or he's a moron. We'll talk about it next. And Chris Cuomo, we'll talk about him as well. It's the Shannon Brooks Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. In some deep stank. When you have liberal magazines, rags, websites like The Atlantic calling for him to be dumped, that's bad.
It's time.
After the investigation into his brother, the Attorney General Letitia James released all of this information, and it disclosed that Chris was engaged in passing information to one of his brother's top aides, Melissa De La Rosa. And as they were scrambling, you know, to respond to the accusations and blah, blah, blah. And one girl who actually had the one with the picture, it was at a wedding, and he's holding her face in his hands, and she looks very uncomfortable. Apparently, in the emails here, they have Chris Cuomo emailing Melissa De La Rosa saying, "I have a lead on that wedding girl." It's a Hillary Clinton playbook. They want to go find these people, these women, and go to work smearing them. And so they have no credibility. And he used his connections at CNN. He looked into Ronan Farrow's reports before they were done. He wanted to find out what was going on, if anything was going to be coming up that was reporting on his brother, and if so, what was it? He helped write the response, that response speech. And I went to, I found this story online, or one of the stories, just so many, on Twitter, and just for giggles, I went to look at the responses. Obviously, all these people are leftists that were responding this way. But a lot of people are like, "Hey, that's family, man. I'll do that. I do it for my brother. That's family, bro. Your family's always first." And I'm like, "Okay, your brother has allegedly sexually harassed a dozen people, maybe more. I don't know. How many were there?
I think there were 12 or 13.
Yeah. And there's plenty of proof of it, and you want to somehow help him dig his way out of that problem, you know, make it go away or not have justice be done for these women when the rest of your life is spent, you know, he did a special on, you know, Weinstein and all these, the rest of his life is, right. He marched to the Me Too drum through all of the Me Too days, and now he's willing to dig up dirt on the women that are accusing his brother of sexual assault for whatever nefarious reason, to smear them, obviously.
And again, that plug for the morning show on Apple Plus, it's all like this stuff right here. It's fantastic. that's what it reminds me of a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty disturbing. Is that, I mean, isn't it? Doesn't he kind of betray his audience that way?
Well, especially when he was on TV lying about it too, where he said, "Oh well, I've had no contact with my brother about it. We don't talk about this.
Right.
We're all on this TV." Where also he happened to just take that vacation week, when the story first broke. Anyway,
yeah. I mean, I think he addressed it back in August and said he was no longer going to talk about it. And that was it. This is the last time I'm talking about these allegations about his brother.
Right. It was in May. Yeah. It was back in May. He said, obviously, I know what's going on with my brother. And what was his excuse for the sake of the integrity of the reporting? He was not going to get involved in it.
Right.
Well, he wasn't involved with it on the air, but behind the scenes, he was deeply involved in it.
For the integrity of reporting, he had a report on himself. So
right. Yeah. He snooped on Ronan Farrow's reporting about his brother. He relayed intelligence to his brother's aides. According to a transcript, an attorney brought up the topic asking, quote, if you recall the governor's team discussing Farrow's article, they were concerned and kept it moving. What they thought it was about was moving. When it was coming out was moving. This is Chris Cuomo. When Ronan Farrow writes something, people in the media are going to talk about it. He said that he was asked if he discussed Farrow's reporting with his big brother. He said, yes. Just asking about, how he felt about it, asking, what did I think the impact was, that he confirmed that he had referenced Lindsay Boylan, the subject of a big piece written by Farrow in which he gave her the first extensive interview about her claims of harassment and retaliation by Governor Cuomo. In the New Yorker. I don't know. I mean, there's been such an incestuous relationship between government officials and media personnel. I mean, you look at the Obama administration. I don't know that there was one cabinet member in his administration that wasn't either married to or related to a news director or a reporter at a major network. Almost every damn one of them. Every stinking one of them. That's how you control the message, man.
Make this go away.
So, I don't know. You think he gets, would you, A, if I was on TV and my brother was accused of a bunch of sexual assaults, I would just remove myself completely from it,
Yeah, on paper, he did the right thing. When he said, I'm not going, I acknowledge it happened. I'm not going to talk about it. It's not to do that. He didn't actually do that part of it, but he did the right thing on TV. Saying, that involves my brother. I don't want to report on that. I'm not going to talk about it. And kind of that's theoretically what he should have done. Now, when he continued to do a bunch of snooping behind the scenes and using his contacts to help his brother out, then that's an issue.
He also talked to his sources across the media about yet to be published stories from various outlets, so he could get ahead of them. CNN has issued a comment hours after the publication of these articles started coming out, saying the news organization would be reviewing all of the documents, the thousands of pages, and blah, blah, blah. And CNN says, we will be having a conversation and seeking additional clarity about the significance as they relate to CNN over the next several days. What does that mean? He's fired in seven. I mean, let's face it. No one over there is a big, big star because no one over there is getting any viewers. No show over there has cracked a million over there.
And where is hashtag Me Too in all this? Where is it? Where is it? It's gone.
You're right. It is gone. Like a fart in the wind. Chris suggested responses. I mean, if you get deep into what he did, he called people and it was asking people, where did you hear this information? Tell me the person that told it to you. Who's your A source? I don't know.
It's slime bally.
It really is slime bally.
But I mean, you think about it, play the devil's advocate here. If that was your brother, you could say, on camera or paper or whatever, and say, hey, this is the last time I'm talking about it. But you know, family's family. No matter what they're going through, you would still...
I would support my brother 100%.
Yeah. You know, but the fact that he was, you know...
I mean, if he really did something, I'm not, you know, that's a tough one when you get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But we knew this was coming. When his brother fell, we said something about his brother will be falling in line at some point as well. This is not just it's a brotherly thing. And now the truth is coming out. And it's going to be amazing to see what CNN actually does on this, if they're actually going to fire him or just, like, slap him on the wrist. Because they did let, you know, Tubin back on the air after masturbating in front of a whole staff. So who knows what they're going
to
do?
What do you have to do to get kicked off of CNN?
Yeah, exactly.
There's practically nothing you can do. It's like working at a government job.
You'd have to do that live, actually, on CNN, the Tubin stuff. He got away because he was just like, oh, well, that's just a work thing we were doing. Come on. Yeah. Everyone does it. Everyone knew, and just like Jeff said, when one Cuomo got involved in it, you know, the other one was going to be there because that family does some shady things. So everyone knew along the way that the Cuomos were going to take each other down.
Right. I mean, he ignored it on his show Monday at 9 p.m. He didn't say a word about it. He went right into Omicron, whatever the hell it's called.
Omicron.
And the network says they'll decide his fate in the next several days.
It's either that he's going to step down, say I'm stepping down, or he's, you know, going to get slapped on the wrist and he's going to have to address, I made some mistakes and errors and I know, but I apologize. I'll never, ever do something like that ever again.
I think we'll find out by Friday. I think he's testing the waters right now. He's looking to see how big of a story it becomes. So if it, you know, by tomorrow, it's kind of already starting to die down. He'll hold off till Friday, and maybe he'll do a culpa like, yeah, you know, I was wrong. I should have never done that. But
when you got the Atlantic saying he's got to go, you know, that's bad news. But you're right. Seldom do these guys ever suffer any consequences for that stuff. So, I don't know that he did anything illegal. I don't know. Maybe he did along the way, digging up for stuff. He was clearly about to do something illegal, I think, in smearing. I don't know if that's even illegal either anymore. But it was nefarious. It was malicious. And it was to get his brother out of big, big trouble.
Yeah.
He thought he could come to his brother's rescue.
Yeah. Maybe it was a little of a witness intimidation going on if he was already starting to look up information about people.
Right. Well, he began his show last night with a discussion about Omicron. He said, I will take a bit of a different take than a lot of other media. I don't know that it helped this Thanksgiving holiday to have this news media blasting word of the new variant, Omicron. That's what he led with. Can we just see somebody in big legacy media get the hammer for being a non-journalist? For ethically, he broke a lot of rules. Right?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a telltale sign. You know, maybe this is the beginning of something fantastic. Yeah, this guy gets fired and exposed for who he is, a fraud, you know? Because he really is. I mean, the narrated news, what he's crammed down our throats over the last, you know, several years with COVID-19, you know, something has to happen. There has to be some kind of hope.
I want someone to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got 100 people over there. They got so many people over in these new stations. You see a pretty face that you haven't seen before. That you've been working there for years. I'm sure they can elevate somebody to that. You know, give Poppy Harlow a show. She's got a great name.
Poppy Harlow.
I think she already has a show, doesn't she? Poppy Harlow?
The Poppy Harlow Show. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Well, who names a kid Poppy to begin with?
Poppy's a pretty cool name.
Poppy?
Yeah. Poppy, come here.
If you're a father, maybe. How about some remarks? You can download the Florida Man Radio app and go buck nutty with your with your remarks. Also, it's a great way to take the station with you wherever you go and listen to archived shows. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Big Gay Sasquatch Ranch. We got tiny homes over here. We got tiny homes over there.
Did I miss something? Or did Yofre and Angel break up? Asking for a friend. Beedoo beedoo.
Beedoo beedoo.
So I don't know if this is a talking point or not, but as a semi-retired person, I am looking for a part-time job at one of these restaurants, and every single one of them requires you to wear a mask. So that tells me that the shortage out there is probably because people like me are not going to be hired for minimum wage and wear a mask in Florida. So talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I think restaurants need to start. I don't know. If you went into a restaurant and your waitress or your waiter, your server was not wearing a mask, would you be concerned?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Half the time, they don't even wear them. Like most of the waiters now have them below their nose. I see every one of them come up to my table. I'm like, well, you know, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
I prefer a hairnet, you know.
That's the company. That's the restaurant owners.
Yeah, that's the restaurant owners. Yeah. But hey, people, just know that them breathing on your food is probably the least bad thing they've done. They're back there sweaty all over it.
Taking their butthole, pulling underwear out of their ass.
Yeah, here's some more fish tank talk. I've been smoking doobies all day, and I can't get over the fact that Jim Comey's daughter being supposedly prosecuting Ghislaine Maxwell. I think Alex Jones has been right about everything the whole time. I believe every conspiracy theory, no matter how crazy it is, based on she supposedly prosecuting her.
She is. She's one of the three lead prosecutors on the case.
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Chip. I don't know if y'all heard. I haven't heard y'all talk about it, but the SUV finally broke its silence about, you know, what caused it to just drive through that parade. And it's kind of wild. The SUV said it was mad that the owner wasn't picking up calls about extending that damn auto warranty, and he'd had enough.
Hey, guys. So what kills me with the media is down to the words that they use to describe COVID, especially in certain states like Florida. But yesterday they come on and say, you know, the new Omicron comes on the heels of the Delta variant, which ravaged the country in the last 6 months. Just terms like that that so overblows it, it's become laughable.
Yeah. Ravage the country. A lot of people got it, but not a lot of people got it bad or got terribly sick or had to hospitalize.
Hey, guys. Just want to send a big shout out to Jonathan and JJ at Moore's Family Farms. Got my turkey last Wednesday, had a couple hiccups with UPS, but got it. They really took care of me, and they actually threw in some ribeyes, were about the size of my forearm. Best turkey I've ever had. Family really enjoyed it, so big shout out to those guys. Thank you much. Bidu bidu.
Yeah, pro guy note. He would normally be here in the bottom of the next hour, but he got held up. He's going to be here after Ed Till in the bottom of the final hour. Jonathan Moore.
Nah, Shando, you forgot about the aspirin deal. They did announce it. There was reports that aspirin worked to prevent COVID, but then soon after there was a report that came out by all the media networks saying, hey, aspirin is no longer good or safe for you to take daily.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know if if you posted it Yofrey posted
within
it. Somebody
days.
Did and of course I shared away, but It's nuts.
Within days, they came out and said, doctors no longer recommend a daily low dose of aspirin. I think I might have missed this one. Let me make sure I didn't.
Hey, guys. Just want to send a big shout out.
No, I got it. That means I'm right here.
Shannon, it's pronounced Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha? Thank you. I've heard it pronounced Waukesha, Waukesha.
Shaniqua.
Shannon.
All right, buddy. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's pronounced Waukesha.
All right.
Sorry, I really didn't put much in this documentary. I've been waiting outside by the mailbox for the checks for my horrible Christmas song. Simply having a wonderful Bidu time. Hey, that sounds like a toe tapper there.
I didn't hear that come up on Ed's Christmas song review. No. Simply having a wonderful Christmas song. Not one of my favorites.
I watched a good Russell Crowe podcast earlier talking about Facebook taking over churches or merging with churches through the metaverse because it's safer, and I think they're just going to consolidate those down into big mega churches in the metaverse so nobody can get sick and passing you that virtual offering plate, homie.
Yeah.
My apologies.
No.
It's Russell Brand podcast. Don't check out Russell Crowe podcast.
Oh, his he does this thing on Rumble.
Russell Brand?
Yeah.
I like Russell Brand.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. I like his accent.
I was definitely curious about the new Russell Crowe podcast, though.
Yeah.
Hey, Shando, Matt Laguna. I meant to tell you yesterday. I don't know if you caught it on Sunday. It was on CBS. It was only an hour long, and you could probably find it easily. It's called A Football Life, and it's the one with Drew Pearson. So it's a really good one that has a lot of good memories. Go check it out. Ironically, they never said anything about his paper boy. But A Football Life, Drew Pearson.
I'm not in there at all.
NFL Network.
All right, man. Thank you.
Scott Bakula.
Hey, Shannon.
Huh? Just go what?
Scott Bakula.
Hey, what's up, Shannon? It's Brandon. Hey, isn't there something called the casino where you can get all kinds of food for $25 a person?
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you don't have to. Plus, you can eat as much as you want. This lady just wants to make an expensive buffet.
He sounds great on
the sounds great on the open mic on his new smartphone. That's awesome.
I'm surprised the SUV hasn't come on the news and tried to blame the gun for it. Beat him.
Those are your remarks for this hour. Download the Florida Man Radio app, and you can do them as well. Great way to watch our stream as well. Right there on the app, it's a little camera at the bottom. You tap that, and boom, you can see how gorgeous we are in person. Speaking of Morris Family Farms, farm to table is not something you can just whip out of an aisle at the Publix. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a way of life. Farmers bring you farm to table, and I mean farmers like Jonathan Morris and Morris Family. Local Florida farmers with right here. The food is grown here. The animals are raised here, slaughtered here, butchered here. If you're fortunate enough to live in Central Florida, it's worth the trip to head on over to Lake Mary at 101 North Country Club Drive, right there at Lake Mary Boulevard and Country Club Drive, because they do an incredible job there. JJ, the family butcher, puts together stuff, sausages and bangers, and they make everything from chorizo to hot Italian sausage. That's the gamut, and everything in between. Meals ready to go, meals ready for you to take home and put in the crock pot right there. But if you live anywhere else, and I mean anywhere, they are more than happy to ship to you, as you heard our the remark guy. Just call them. 407-402-5686. That's the telephone number, 407-402-5686. They serve hot meals most days of the week. You need to call and find out what it is. Usually around $13.99 or something like that. If you don't want to cook, you stop by and get hot meals for you and the kids and head home and you look like a champ. Morris Family Farms. Find them on Facebook as well. It's really important to have the visual, and they put up some pretty funny videos as well. 407-402-5686. It's real farm to table. Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Stick around. I'm not quite certain what we're doing when we get back. That's going to be hysterical. Buttigieg says there's one way for every family in America to never have to worry about gas prices again. No wonder he's transportation secretary. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Feel bad for Rosenbaum? Not really.
Not really.
The mob threatened Kyle's life. He got busy.
Pa, pa, pa.
It wasn't self-defense, man. Y'all silly.
What?
Y'all just want to burn the city, but it's not guilty. Shouldn't pop off. Mess around and get knocked off. Man, y'all just should have walked off. We are not soft with a side off. We got big sticks. Y'all are nitwits. Bring a 380, you will get lit. I'm a Christian with logistics. Y'all are misfits with a lipstick, man.
Okay. I just came to paint the picture. Your brains are on the pavement cause you ain't the victor. What is this about? You should have been quicker. You gon' listen now? Too late. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse. Bring the muscle, pull up at a politician house. Come and take it the two way and make you listen now.
Y'all just trying to send us to the prison house. This a mission. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse. Bring the muscle, pull up at a politician house. Come and take it the two-way and make you listen now. Y'all just trying to send us to the prison house. This a mission. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse.
Listen, we don't want to do it. You're forcing us to move and you're forcing us to use
them.
You're forcing us to organize and that is how I view it. Trust me, you are gonna be mortified if we decide to lose it. Okay, got the camo with the ammo, call me Rambo, this gang. Got the red dot for the headshot, better get off my lane. Y'all don't want the smoke and y'all don't really want the pain. Y'all ain't nothing but a joke, it's nothing you can really gain. Okay, don't step foot up on my land. If you don't know, I'm about to tell you there's a line up in the sand. So what is this about? Please don't force my hand. You gon' listen now? Too late. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse. Bring the muscle, pull up at a politician house. Come and take it the two-way and make you listen now. And y'all just trying to send us to the prison house. This a mission. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse. Bring the muscle, pull up at a politician house. Come and take it the two-way and make you listen now. And y'all just trying to send us to the prison house. This a mission. Y'all about to make me pull a Rittenhouse.
Blue Tar Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you need to scroll?
I am.
Scroll.
You will. My neighbor brought me over a blue tarp just the other day. He's the exalted cyclops of the KKK.
Jesus.
I don't know what that has to do with anything anyway. But he said, hey, put this on your house. And I said, okay. So many storms. We went through the whole damn alphabet. All the way to the Greek stuff, which I forget. It's like we're playing Hurricane Russian roulette, oh yeah. I got the blues, blue tar blue. I got to call my adjuster and get a brand new room. Kill us all. I heard it on the news. Lioness Tom Terry acting like a fool. I got blue. Got the blue tar. Tar blue. Well, Pop Rocket burned a hole in it on the 4th of July. Grandkids up there playing slip and slide. The toilet's backed up with something unspecified. Smell like formaldehyde.
Scrawl,
scrawl. We've had 11 teen storms. Just 6 months, y'all. This tarp is gonna be a decoration right through the fall. And then we'll fold it up real nice and give it to Santa Claus. Oh, yeah. I woke up this morning, water everywhere, snakes in my ice chops, ice box, and frogs in my underwear. Well, yeah. Got the blue. Got the blue tar blue. Well, I gotta call my adjuster. Hey, give me a brand new roof. That don't really rhyme good, but I suppose
it works.
Blue lightweight polyethylene coated water, wind, sun resistant tarp, laminated rust proof grommets spread 36 inches apart. I got the blue. I got the blue tar blue. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna take a ride and get me a bottle of Jameson Blue.
All right. Hell yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Nice work. Shoes. I don't know. Epstein's pilot arrived to testify in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. We are getting some things, you know, dripping out of there.
Yeah.
We're getting some great cartoons, by the way.
Yeah, the drawings.
I love courtroom drawings.
Yeah, me too. So, let's see. His pilot showed up. What is his cast name? Lawrence Paul Visaki Jr. And he said under cross-examination that he never witnessed any sex acts or underage girls without their parents on board several private aircraft that he piloted for him. He said, I never saw any sexual activity. No. He quizzed the pilot on the stand about 1,000 or so flights that he piloted from the early 90s to 2004. He said he never noticed any underage girls without their parents. He said he flew them in the mid-90s, but he remembered flying the girl, Virginia Roberts, the main accuser, but he believed her to be a shorter woman with dirty blonde hair. He added that he believed passenger named Jane was a mature woman with some piercing powder blue eyes. Hmm. I think the most disturbing thing about this pilot is his shoes. And maybe these are special flying. You know, you ever buy driving shoes?
Yeah.
I used to have a little old 1974 Porsche, a little 911. And I thought it was really cool to get some driving shoes, man. That's a special driving. They're the pain in the ass. Because once you're done driving, you got to put your real shoes back on. So when you look close, when you see these, his name, what is his full name? Maybe that are his initials. They are his initials. Jesus Palomino. On the top of these velvet, they look like velvet shoes, like black, dark velvet with a real thin sole, almost like they're moccasins or they're some type of slipper. But I'm gonna need this back because I got some stuff on the back. His initials are embroidered into the top of his felt house shoes. What's up with that?
It's like some expensive slippers.
I mean, show Eric.
Oh yeah, those are some nice house shoes right there.
Don't they look like a slipper?
Yeah.
Like you'd put on in the morning, like, you know, or maybe later on with your smoking jacket while you had lit your pipe and your wife brought you a scotch.
Fetch me my slippers. I must go to court now.
I don't know. They don't look like they're for outdoor going to court shoes is what I'm getting at. He took the stand again today, was asked about the layout of the Caribbean hideaway, nicknamed Pedophile Island. Then he testified about a Boeing 727 he used to shuttle him in. He called it a recreational vehicle. They tracked down the jet to a facility that's been long-term storage in Georgia. The engines have been taken off of it. It's been deregistered. It no longer has a number, but it's no longer so it doesn't have to be inspected.
Right.
And blah blah blah. So we're getting some things out of there. She came to the courtroom at 8:43 a.m. wearing green sweater, black slacks, holding a lime green folder, raised her eyebrows at her sister in an apparent way to greet her. So I guess her sister is allowed in the gallery because I don't think her sister's part of the case. She's not testifying. There for moral. Yeah, she should be able to have someone there for moral support, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know they're going to get anything out of the pilot guy. But the list came out, right? Where's the list? FAA mistakenly, right? They didn't do this. Isn't it public record who's flying on somebody's plane or no?
Yeah, the FCC wouldn't. FAA wouldn't release the these documents for some reason. But they accidentally, it was like 704 or something around the about that accidentally got out.
Yeah.
For the flights.
Federal Aviation Administration inadvertently opened up a new realm of information about the activities surrounding Epstein. Insider has been compiling a searchable database of his flights aboard his various aircraft
The outlet asked for all the records connected with his flights to show departure and arrival dates. 2 months later, the FAA declined, saying the data was linked to law enforcement proceedings. The denial notwithstanding, the FAA sent a letter of some of Epstein's flight records, along with unrelated correspondence. The records of 2,300 flights covered four jets that he owned from 1998 to 2000. Jesus.
That's a lot of flights.
Bill Clinton's on the list. He took four flights. He acknowledged taking four flights, but they later discovered that Clinton had taken at least 26 flights.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. That's right. I got some poontang on every one of them. His prime travel routes from New York City to Palm Beach, where his primary residence were located, one in Palm Beach, one in New York City, or either Paris, where he had a place to live, or New Mexico, he had a ranch, and the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Flight data typically considered to be releasable information. The agency, FAA, that's what they say, but they declined to comment any further. I know that isn't Trump on the list for taking a flight?
Yes.
He is.
One fly, right?
Just one. That's all I needed. It was quickly.
If that flight wasn't down to the a pedophile island, it was from Palm Beach to New York. Jersey.
Yeah.
Where Trump has a business in Palm Beach. He's got a business in Jersey.
But notice the media, it's not a big of a deal, but the media had to put that in.
Yeah, they had to slide it. They never ever mentioned that the moment that Trump caught wind of Epstein's initial arrest back, I forget when it was, in the early 2000s, I think, and he served like weekend type of, you know what I mean, that type of where you go out to work all day and you come back and spend the night. The moment he found out about that, he revoked his membership at Mar-a-Lago and cut contact with him. There's another trial getting underway today of Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett is not going to go to jail. Everyone estimates he's going to get probation at best, you know, something like that, restitution, some type of deal. I'd rather follow the Epstein trial, but I think that's all, you know. His pilot also testified, they asked him point blank, well, did Trump ever fly on this jet? And he said, I don't remember that. But then he said he didn't remember him doing it more than once, and he doesn't remember Prince Andrew riding on the plane, but he says he does remember President Trump riding on one flight. I have to dig that in there.
Mm-hmm. Quickly.
He ought to ask him about the Biden family.
Yeah.
Other names he reported, Kevin Spacey, we know about that. Chris Tucker. It's Zach Perlman, the violinist. Senator George Mitchell, Senators George Mitchell and John Glenn.
Mm.
He said he would have been told in advance if a big name like Clinton was going to be a passenger on the jet. He said there might be a special catering for him or something, but he would always know if somebody bigwig was that. He said when asked if he remembered a victim in the case identified as Jane riding on the plane, he said, I can't visualize her sitting in the passenger compartment like I would, say, President Clinton. But he also required flying Epstein to Columbus, Ohio, where the convicted sex offender had a home near one owned by one of his business associates, Victoria's Secret founder Les Wexner.
Les, good guy.
Yeah. I don't know. We get little drippings. Who's there?
And how much of it is going to be filtered out? You know, how much of this stuff are we actually going to know that comes out of that courtroom?
However much they feel they can let us know.
Right.
However much they want us to know. And no more. Wow. Buttigieg. Buttigieg is our transportation secretary. He's got everything that you want from a cabinet member. He's gay. He's a dude. He's married to a dude. They have twins. Everything's wonderful. No experience in the field, but he is a... He's in, and this will illustrate the fact that he is clueless about it. He may not be clueless about transportation, but he's clueless about financial the financial condition of the average American family. It's breathtaking what he says here. Here is Booty Judge.
Areas across our communities and across our country.
I know it's now the bipartisan infrastructure law. Now there's talk about the Build Back Better Act, which is the...
Of course I send a gay reporter to interview Booty Judge, you know? Couldn't be a hot woman, has to be a dude.
Quote, unquote, human infrastructure. Are there things in that legislation that's now being cobbled together that is important to you as the Secretary of Transportation?
Absolutely, yes. Obviously, most of the physical infrastructure work was contemplated in the bill that was just signed, but there is more envisioned in the Build Back Better law. I'll give you one example. It contains incentives to make it more affordable to buy an electric vehicle, up to a $12,500 discount, in effect, for families thinking about getting an EV. Families that, once they own that electric vehicle, will never have to worry about gas prices again.
So families that own that electric, families, if they just buy an electric vehicle, you'll never have to worry about gas prices again, which illustrates how incredibly stupid he is, because even though you're not buying gasoline for your electric car, other fuels are being purchased that are delivering products to your grocery store that you need, or, you know, are trucked across the country, and the price of fuel dramatically affects those products.
Yeah, well, to add to that, you're going to have to worry about replacing your battery every 2 years.
Right. Not to mention, I looked at the Tesla prices. I think the cheapest one is around $46,000. And the most expensive ones are like $105,000.
Yeah, but you get a $12,000 discount.
Oh, so, oh, okay. Whoa, so it's 80 grand or 90 grand. Oh, I can handle that. That's great. That's insanity.
It is.
And we low income families, are they going to be able to afford a $46,000 to $100,000 car?
Here's the thing, we're going to just give it to these people.
Folks, and then what? Say you live in a middle class, I don't know, neighborhood or a low income neighborhood, are there charging stations at your what do they call it, a public housing?
No, there's not.
Are they? They're not going to put them down there at the public house? No, a whole row of charging stations.
I know that in where I live, I couldn't tell you where there is a charging station in that area, in Deltona area. I know the racetrack doesn't have one, and the Circle K doesn't have one, and the 7-Eleven doesn't have one, and the Cumberland Farms down the street doesn't have one, so it's going to be real difficult.
Yeah, I rarely ever see charging stations, not unless you had a Kia or something like that.
Yeah. Actually, the last time I saw one over in that area was in the Sanford Town Center, and someone had put a dumpster in front of it so you could actually not get to it.
He goes on to say, I mean, it's stupid to say you never have to worry about a gas price again if you have an electric car.
Right.
Because fuel prices dramatically affect everything else you purchase that you need, your food, your this, your that, all of it. He said the people who stand to benefit most from owning an EV are often rural residents who have the most distances to drive, who burn the most gas, and underserved urban residents in areas where there are higher gas prices and lower income. So lower income, you have a lower income inner city urban area where the gas prices are really high. So in order to avoid that, the poor people just need to go get a $100,000 EV and poof, problem solved.
Then you're also telling Cletus in the rural area that he has to give up his truck and drive around a EV that he can't put anything in the back of.
There is no, I don't know, I'm sure there are. Ask Jonathan Morris if he'll ever buy an electric vehicle. He said if we can make them less expensive for everybody, more people can take advantage. We'll be selling more American-made EVs, which means in time they'll become less expensive to make and buy for everybody, which in theory is right. We go. What do they go? 250, 300 miles where you got to recharge them?
Yes, it depends. Like if you get, you can get like a, I think that truck he came out with, it was like that half ton that he had to recall and he didn't release it because he like took a hammer to the glass. It's unshakable glass. Well, that you could buy another battery. I looked it up, that truck. I said that's a pretty badass truck. I was like, but you can buy an extra battery for the truck, so you can go 250 on one battery, 250 on the other battery. So you can get two batteries for that truck and go 500 miles on
batteries. To replace batteries on an average Tesla, I saw this article about guys that are actually fixing Teslas. It's a cooling system that keeps with liquid that keeps the batteries cool. And there is a shield underneath the car, under the underbody, that shields the batteries, although it's very, very flimsy. And you could run over something in the road, and in this case, someone had run over something, and it pierced that cooling thing. All the stuff came out of the battery cooling system, or knocked the hose off of the battery cooling system, and they said, well, you got to replace all the batteries. And it's like $16,000.
Well, common sense. I mean, you know, I've been looking at these videos of Sprinter vans, and they have solar power panels on top of the vans. Why are, you know, you're talking about the green energy deal. Why these cars don't have solar panels to power your battery and your electric car? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think some of them have solar panels built into the roof.
Yeah, which should be charging your battery.
I saw a dude who had a sprocket. Yeah. You see the one where the guy adapted a sprocket to the outside of the rear wheel of his car with a chain, and it was a big sprocket, and it drove a smaller sprocket that was like on the back bumper, which turned a generator, an alternator generator inside the vehicle that recharged the battery as he drove.
And that guy got promptly executed.
He hasn't been seen since.
There's this prankster in Sarasota. He does all these YouTube prank videos. He bought a Tesla, and he dressed up like a nerd. He goes, what I'm going to do is we're going to take the electric engine out of the Tesla. We're going to put a regular engine in the car, and I'm going to pull up to an oil changing place and say, hey, I want my oil change. And the guy goes, this is a Tesla, you don't need oil change. No. And then the guy, he's dressed up like a geek, goes, no, you can change the oil, lift the hood. And the guy goes, what the hell? I've never seen a Tesla with a gas engine before.
So I have a Tesla invoice right now for the replacement of, it was the customer states the vehicle is not responsive, so they removed and replaced the HV battery pack and all other damaged components. I'm going to take a guess what the total cost was.
They removed the battery pack and replaced it with all the components.
The correction was an HV battery remove and replace. So
$16,700.
Yep. The cost of the battery alone was $13,500. The labor itself was $2,299 just for labor.
Wow. So
$16,000 to replace that battery in that thing. You can buy a new car.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you see where they're going with this, the force thing? Because you think about it, that's a lot of money for the average Joe, but they're saying, hey, for low economy households, what the government's going to do, because you need the government to take care of you.
Right.
We're going to provide the battery for you free of charge and give you a tax write-off as well.
And we'll, $12,500 off. He said, that sounds like a tax break on what you would pay maybe on a car that size, right? I don't know. That amount? But are they just cut you a check? Hey, congratulations. Thanks for buying a Tesla. Here's some money.
Man, these guys are suckers. He's got a Tesla.
Well, that $12,500 is not a rebate. They just hand you one free battery coupon.
How long does the battery last? Do we know?
Depends. Some of them.
I had 2 years.
Yeah. Anywhere, but it seems to be like 3 to 5 years seems to be a lot of them. But they're getting better. But, yeah.
I have an old-ass car, and I don't spend that kind of money on it every 2 years maintaining it.
Well, the reason I say 2 years, a guy, we used to have this live stream student in Lakeland. He had a Volt. He was trying to sell me this Volt.
Half electric and half hybrid? Okay.
But he just said, I go, why you want to get rid of this? This is pretty cool. I couldn't fit in the car. Hey, I would have to take the front seat out and sit in the back seat to drive the thing. But it was a pretty cool car. And he just says, well, the problem is the battery. He goes, it's just so expensive with the battery. And this is, this is 2015-ish. Yeah. Right. And he says, these things last 2 years and you have to replace them. And he goes, it's crazy. It's like $20,000 to replace the battery in this thing.
That's not a very good selling point to a guy looking to buy it. No. This thing will cost you $20,000 every year. All right. Let's take a break. Breathtakingly stupid. You'll never have to worry about gas prices again. And we can F you in the you-know-what. With gas prices. I mean, if you're not buying gas, you're not paying attention, are you? You know, if you're not buying gas, you're not going everywhere. Oh, damn, it cost me $60 to fill up today. Holy crap. Oh, it cost me $80. You know, you're oblivious to that, so you think you're doing all right. In the meantime, you don't know that your grocery bill has risen by 18%.
Right.
Everything else you buy has risen. You know, the clothing your kids buy is up by 11%. All, you know, back-to-school supplies are up by 10%. It's just... all right, we gotta take a break. I know I have some other. I've curated much audio, and I haven't gotten to any of it today. We have I got to play. Geraldo went above and beyond, I think, late yesterday on the five, defending, or not defending, it sounded like he was in defense of Ghislaine Maxwell, led a lot of people to believe that he may or may not be on the list. I'll play that for when we get back. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Seen any information on the shooting in Detroit, the school shooting?
No.
Nope. Just the 3 dead, 6 wounded. All 3 dead are students. One of the wounded is a teacher, but no names yet.
Yeah. And no real information and no real reporting on you know, mainstream media. I've got a local yokel Detroit feed I'm going to play for you in a minute. But it's Detroit. Every parent they interview at the end of this thing, apparently there was a perceived threat yesterday or the day before on social media that said, that caught him saying, if I hear you at school tomorrow, I'm going to kill you, or something like that. No one, you know, I guess they posted it and no one did anything about it. And you probably haven't heard about it, but because odds are, just given the geographical location and the people that I've seen, students and otherwise in the story, is that the shooter is black. He killed 3 and injured 6 so far.
They just took it up to 8 now injured.
8 injured?
Yep.
I read something different. I heard it was actually a car.
A gun showed up and began firing. Here's the report.
This has been a stunning and awful couple of hours for all of the parents at Oxford High.
Yes, it definitely has. Parents were directed to a mire near the school where students were sent, hoping to reunite with their families as soon as possible. Our Jason Colthorpe is in that area and joins us. He's been talking with students and parents as well. Jason.
Karen, I'm actually across the street from the mire, and that's where some parents and students have now spilled over into an area where this is so fluid that they're just trying to find a place where they can get kids and their parents.
All right, let's move
walking around, came across several parents and students, many who couldn't even put into words what had just gone on, and they weren't even in the middle of it, but they were reunited. You could just see the relief on their faces, parents not letting their kids more than a couple feet out of their sight, out of their reach. And as I spoke to more parents, some didn't have kids at school that day. But
here's one here.
And here's what they had to say.
But my son has a footage of them on social media saying what this person, whomever it was, what he said that he would do to these kids if they came to school, if he heard their voice, what he would do to them, that if you come to this school today, I'm going to kill you.
First thing when I got up, I put my shoes on, put my coat on, told my mom, come on, let's go. I have a friend. He's more like my cousin. I think of him as my cousin. And I said, he's in there. He's the only one that went to school. And I need to get up there to get him out of that school because I don't want anything to happen to him.
And he is okay?
Yeah, he is fine. He's at home. He's a little bit scared, but he'll be okay.
Yeah, they said when they got here to the school, deputies were everywhere, but some students who had been shot were coming out. He knew those students. It was just devastating to see them dealing with these injuries. His friend that he knew, his mother told me, I believe she said he was a member of the football team, but was able to, he ran all the way home before any of this and is safe. But again, the investigation now into exactly what were these threats. Are they connected to this 15-year-old sophomore who allegedly pulled the trigger today?
Wow.
The young man that police do have in custody. They don't know if that's the case yet. So we're working to learn more about that as pretty much most parents who are looking for someone are being reunited with them as we speak.
Not a whole lot. This was this morning, right?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot on the local news. Just like Waukesha, that, you know, it doesn't fit the narrative.
And how many more shootings are we going to have in the next few days here? Because normally when these things happen, they happen in threes.
Right. It's incredibly It's amazing, but it's... Well, they're going to have to, at some point, issue a booking photo, right? A mugshot, and his name. It's going to be public record at some point, and then it'll hit the news. And then the real judge of whether or not the mainstream media is in the bag for the narrative or not.
Yeah.
Because if it's a black kid and they mentioned it one time and then it goes away forever and ever and ever. Because there's a lot of meat on the bones for a story here. The kid made threats days before. He made threats that appeared on social media. This guy had information. A lot of kids did not, like you heard the mother say. A lot of the kids were scared to go to school that day. Did the school know about it?
Nope. Facebook did. Twitter.
That's just, you know.
That's why we need regulations on the social media platforms.
Yeah. We need to regulate it. This is really, isn't it weird? Things that happen in the world or in America, people, like I remember a rash of young kids being born in the South, the Deep South, after Hurricane Katrina, named Katrina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They named them Katrina. Now... The most popular pet names of 2021. This is amazing. It's good for you though. For the people, it's a good. The top two names are Fauci and Pfizer. Fauci, can you imagine being at the dog park? I mean, if I'm at the dog park and I'm a single man, dog park's a great place to pick up chicks, by the way. And I'm a single man and I got a dog out there and I'm kind of eyeballing. The moment some girl refers to her dog as Fauci, you know what I mean?
Pfizer!
An expert at Rover.com says, the names we choose for our pets often reflect things that matter most to us. From our passions and interests to what's happening around us. With soaring pet adoption rates in extra time spent at home over the past year, a lot of dogs and cats were given new names that showcased their personalities of both the pet and the parent. Fauci and Pfizer. Naming your dog Pfizer?
Ugh. Oh, you get a cut of the income off
that?
Yeah. A little commission there.
They say every year, the annual top pet names report showcases what cultural moments made an impact. And clearly the pandemic was a big deal. Out of 1,000 pet owners in the United States and millions of users submitted pet names, 61% of pet names, pet parents name their animal a human name. You know.
Yeah.
But then some choose Pfizer.
Pfizer!
That's when you know that the technique has worked on your brain.
Yeah.
When you're excited to call your dog Pfizer.
Why not COVID? I mean, COVID was a big... Yeah, COVID!
Come here. Why not pulmonary embolism? Pulmonary embolism, let's go!
Ivermectin, let's go!
Ivermectin. But look at the other two... You look at Pfizer's campaign because nobody's calling them Johnson & Johnson or Moderna. So Pfizer won the campaign of the fact that that's the name you associate with the vaccine.
More than any other, absolutely. Yeah. Because of obvious reasons.
Immunity! Let's go! Come on!
No, you can't call your dog immunity. That's bad. You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Booster. Come on, Booster. Let's go. Instead of Buster, obviously. Yeah.
And you can't call it ivermectin because then people are like, why would you name your dog after horse paste?
Stupid.
Baxton. Let's go.
That is so dumb. It's just beyond, you know.
Is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline.
You know, if you want to, I think you look at outfits, organizations, shows, networks, and if they have sponsored by Pfizer, I think you know you've got fake news on your hands.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, you have a very devoted surf.
yeah. that will do anything the administration says.
I think what should happen is that, you know, conservative voices that have money, people have money, they could become a sponsor and go, sponsored by ivermectin.
Yeah. Brought to you by ivermectin. The $1 COVID cure.
And my pillow.
It was a big music festival produced by a large radio holding company and online.
Heard of them, maybe a little. iLiver.
Yeah. Their major sponsor for their music concert this year is Pfizer.
Oh, my God.
What on earth? For a music festival, what's in it for? Oh, this it's iHeart, by the way, but I'll just tell you right now, they own a ton of radio stations. What concert goer is going to go there and see the Pfizer signs? And go, oh, yeah, Pfizer! Woo! You know what I mean?
Pfizer merch.
Yeah, how long before guys are walking around with a Pfizer t-shirt on? And that blows me away, but it tells you something.
Can you imagine the little commercials? Like, you're in the crowd, how much Pfizer is going to have commercials? Like, I promise you, I don't know anything about this, but I guarantee you they're going to, like, do these pro musician commercials with these musicians getting vaccinated.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I got my shot.
Yeah.
Thanks, look, Pfizer.
I'm back on the road again thanks to Pfizer. We're doing a coast-to-coast tour, fully vaccinated with Pfizer, and along the way, we'll stop and get various booster shots before we end the... I don't know. Pfizer. God, why would you name a dog after a drug company?
Can you imagine, too? It's like a rock star gets on there and goes, I got one question. We're going to do one last song. Who hasn't been vaccinated? Call them out right now, or I'm not performing this song. Get them vaccinated right now.
By the way, I can go on right now on Amazon and buy a Team Pfizer shirt in blue.
For Team Pfizer?
$12.95.
What is it like a blue shirt with a white logo?
Blue shirt says Team Pfizer with a little needle on the end of it.
Are you serious?
Yep. Established 29. You also get Team Moderna. I can also get the Pfizer alumni t-shirt.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
And I love this company on their Amazon thing says, the Team Pfizer t-shirt is the ultimate conversation starter or gift. It's excellent for photo opportunities.
Yeah. Jeez. How long before the first human parents name a kid Pfizer?
I bet you I can find one.
My son is named Pfizer. What a great kid.
The best kid ever. Later, after he was born, we had two boosters.
They were twins.
Yeah. Aren't their kids named genitalia and weird stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Scrotum.
Yeah. I mean, I got the, in India, this was out back in April, in India, tiny twins were born named COVID and Corona.
So. Oh, God. I'll never understand the desire for a bizarre, never used word as a name for your child, but naming them after a drug company, it just means you're just in the bag, man. I mean, you can't you named your kid Pfizer. And here's Moderna. Astra and Zeneca over here.
Here's my twins, Johnson and Johnson.
Here's my new cat, myocarditis. we want to get some remarks in because we got a loaded last hour here.
We don't have a lot.
We don't? No. Well, then let's not do it right now. North Korean teen has been sentenced to prison for watching 5 minutes of a film. 14 years in prison for a North Korean teenager. Hard labor, by the way. The student at a middle school there was arrested while watching the South Korean movie, The Uncle. They were arrested 5 minutes after starting the movie and sentenced to 14 years of hard labor.
I mean, I guess it's better than the guy that smuggled Squid Games in, who got executed by firing squad. So
what?
Yeah, there was the guy that they a guy smuggled in, and he was executed by firing squad. And then I think there was two other people that watched it, and they also got like multiple years in prison too.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Just for watching something. Imagine that. It's not far away.
Did you finish watching that, by the way?
No, I have not.
You gave up on it?
No, and I didn't give it up on it yet. It's, there's so many damn things to watch on TV. It's my head's spinning.
You got so what's the rule in your house with your wife? You can't watch things by yourself if she doesn't like it? Or how
no, she doesn't like... she didn't like Squid Games, but I could watch it anytime I want. But we have a, you know, we have a routine. We watch almost getting ready to change because we're coming to the end of the Sopranos podcast deal. I watched that on Mondays. Tonight I'll watch the corresponding episode. I think we have three more episodes left, so that'll be wrapped up. And I've kind of already started watching it again, you know, on the backside. But then you have Yellowstone and Mayor of Kingstown mm-hmm. and all these other cool things. And then we're supposed to get Ozarks back. So
that's January, yeah.
And then Peaky Blinders has got another episode coming out. I mean, it's mind. And there's so many things I want to start watching, like The Shrink Next Door, The Morning Show. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. How is it possible?
You consolidate your life and move into a tiny house and live with a cat. You know?
Yeah, so that Squid Games guy, the smuggler was executed. The kid who bought it from the smuggler, life in prison. And there was five other students that watched, or six other students who watched it, who all got 5 years hard labor.
Wow. Good Lord. I mean, that's what you get. I mean, that's what you get. Yeah. All right, let's listen to some remarks before we have to break off. Here. Download the Florida Man Radio app. It's very easy. And you can do stupid stuff like this.
So in mid-September, I was out with COVID. I had mild symptoms, but I still had to be out of work for 2 weeks, or at least until I tested negative, which was about 2 weeks. But I had my doctor write me a prescription for ivermectin, and Walgreens, CVS, and Amazon Pharmacy would not fill the prescription, so I just never got it.
Happened to me, too.
It's absolutely insane.
Drop me an email, and I'll tip you off to a pharmacy. It's shannon@jvcbroadcasting.com.
Oh, hell.
Hey, man, y'all have been playing that rap song, Rittenhouse, whatever it's called, but that thing's pretty tight, man. I really enjoy hearing that one. Gets my arm hair standing up. It's got a good beat, good flow. That's really good. Whoever decided to play that, I liked it. Thanks. Y'all have a good one.
Bubba stepped up his game.
Yeah, so this guy's ranting and raving about EV. You'll never have to worry about gas prices again. Well, you know, when 70% of this country is running off of electric vehicles, your local electric membership company is going to jack prices through the roof. I mean, electricity is going to be crazy. It's going to be sucked dry. I mean, you know, solar panels.
These EVs are a scam. When you're completely reliant on the electric grid, which you have no choice over whose grid you're on, they can shut it down and you're trapped. Right now, you can gas up your vehicle and be damn near across the country overnight.
Amen, brother.
It's a scam. It's about control.
I agree. Thank you.
Pfizer, get over here. Get off of Fauci. You don't do that, boy.
Come here, buddy. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Give me that ball. Bring me that ball. Oh. That ball was brought to me by Pfizer.
Very good.
Hey, speaking of Pfizer and pets, why haven't pets been blamed more for the spread of the virus? I would think they get it just like humans do, right? I mean, wasn't there an article that deer, like 90% of deer or something, have it? So why are our pets so safe? And why can they not spread it? It seems like they haven't gotten any attention. Maybe they're not voters. That's the problem.
Good point.
They're tasty. They're delicious. Your dog will love them. Milk-bone dog biscuits. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Here's a great way to bankrupt the fake news media. Kyle Rittenhouse is already doing it by suing them for defamation. But you think about it, the media is also responsible for painting this false narrative in the minds of people that reacted to the Rittenhouse trial. Look at what happened in Waukesha. This guy thinks, oh, this white supremacist kid just was allowed to get off after killing all these black people at a BLM. And so what does he do? He runs over a bunch of white people. They should, all those families should sue the fake news media and bankrupt them.
You're right. I do believe they're responsible for any reaction, negative reaction to the Rittenhouse verdict, without a doubt.
So if I start rocking one of these Team Pfizer shirts, they're going to quit asking if I'm vaccinated. Is that like a free pass?
Oh, hell yeah.
I've already got it.
That's right. They go, come to see your card. Dude, what, bro, would I be wearing this shirt if I wasn't vaxxed up, dog?
100% Team Pfizer.
New T-shirt. We need to take the...
Team Ivermectin.
With Team Ivermectin, but you also could do that one. You could also take an S and replace it with... you can do like something with Shannon Shanzer. Or something.
Go to bdubdu.com. We got new shirts and stuff there. There are Mothman stuff. We have Do Not Comply, Shannon Burke Show shirts. Bdubdu.com. Let's take a break here. When we return, Ed Till will join us. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have it. These vaccinations.
Somebody gotta do it. Hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Hey. Hey, let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey. Biden said the jab stopped the spread, it was lies.
I remember
how you roll, but you haven't opened your eyes. These politicians are demons just in disguise. Look at Kyrie Irving and Nicki Minaj. Look at Australia, that's what's coming next if we don't stand up. Stop complying with them, taking our rights, it's time to man up. Republicans voting for red back laws, that's just what I can't trust. If you ask questions about the facts, then they gonna ban us. Hey, this is about control, everybody knows, everyone complies. We're the kinds of pros, I don't need a plane, I just hit the road. I do what I want, I can't sell my soul. Market about to crash, this is what you chose. Ruining the country, I've been best to go. You gon' take the mark, I take never roles. I'm a man of God, I can never
let's
fold.
Go, Brandon, I keep the drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey,
let's go, Brandon. And it's clear that man a wreck. Hey. Let's go, Brandon, now the Taliban a threat. Hey, you planned it, now the Taliban is standing on our neck. Chanting death to America, you are barely president. Listen, I don't think you hear, man. Let me make it clear, man. Better keep your hands into yourself, that stuff is weird, man. I wish I could take you in the back place, smear the queer, man. You could take the vax, I fear God. I don't fear, man. I'm on gear 10, believe me, we ready to rumble. The only play the Joe can execute is a fumble. I think we all know he's out to lunch. That dude went camping. I'm a Christian, so how do I say this? Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey.
Let's go, Brandon. We know he capping. Patriots out in the street taking action. Hunting us down for speaking the truth. Beat down the pedal to save all the youth. Media lying, ignore all the crying. They build them back better, but only the Taliban. Pilots on strike, but to Joe it's irrelevant. Open the border, lose all the order. Divide us up so they know that we never win. But we're united, we're here in the stadiums. Everyone chanting it, seeing it, slandering. Biden collapsing and Democrats stealing it. Hey, we look at Joe. Can we get a refund? How about some mean tweets? Joe is a crook and he knows how to deceive. FJB is the motto in these streets. Let's go, Brandon. Sing
let's
it with
go,
me.
Brandon. I keep a drum like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Pandemic ain't real, they just planned it. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. You ask questions, they start banning. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey, let's go, Brandon. Hey, hey.
win, or have a chance to win, rather, a pair of tickets to the Donald Trump History Tour with Bill O'Reilly. It is December 12th. We'll be there broadcasting live at the Amway Center at noon.
Yes.
I understand Brandy Love is going to join us. Should be a lot of fun. Just text this keyword to 321-339-1055. The keyword is factor. Factor, as in the O'Reilly factor. Text that to 321-339-1055. You'll have a chance to win yet another pair of tickets to the, these, I mean, it's a popular thing, this event. It's going to be hot. Good luck. Now we, Tuesdays, we dial in our midday guy, Ed Till. Edward, how are you, sir?
Dialed in, as always. Listen, and I love that song, dude. That was the first time I heard that. Yeah.
Do I understand that you have watched the entire, that entire Beatles documentary that you're...
Yeah.
Okay, 8 hours.
I was with them 8 years old when they walked out. I'll be with them until the last one is done. Got some strong opinions on it, too. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm going to watch it. My my movie reviewer, Mike, has watched it. Right. And while we were talking about it, I understand it to be just kind of a an unnarrated footage of the band and them talking to each other and various people and their crew. Right? Am I right about that?
You are. Okay. Absolutely. And if you enjoyed Let It Be, did you get a look at Let It Be years and years ago, the
yes.
original?
Yeah.
So this is the movie, or this is the footage, that we would have stayed in the theater after Let It Be to watch all the extras. This is the massive amount of extra, yeah.
And 8 hours of it. It is unnarrated, and it's just like them. You're just kind of in the room with
in the
them.
Room.
Okay,
yeah.
that's... Yeah. Well, Mike said it didn't suck, but he said he thought there were a lot of good things that he enjoyed it, and I mean, maybe it's not for everybody. It's not really like, here's a documentary, here's the information, here's some historical things. It's just really, which is pretty cool, I'll admit, you literally are sitting in the control room or the studio or wherever they are, right?
It's true. The... virtual reality a couple of years ago, I think McCartney cooperated with it, did one of these things like, this is what it would be like if you were there. But it was all synthetic and created by the computer. This is the real deal. This is being there. But it's being there like a lot of music people will recognize. This is that like long studio time waiting between things to be right. That's a little tedious for the public, but if you love studios and bands and all, you can have a good time in there. But a lot of negatives on it, that it's got boring chunks, and I was a little disappointed. The stuff I was hoping to hear, they really don't go into much. So you're still going to get the same movie of Let It Be, just the longer, detailed version.
It almost seems like whatever you're doing, if you're a band and you're even mildly renowned, that you should film every single thing you do so that later you could just chuck it all onto Netflix and make a bundle of money out of it.
You know, John Lennon's idea. John Lennon early on said nothing gets thrown away. And when they broke up, he had this incredible, precise archive of everything they had uttered musically. So, you know, that's fantastic. I don't know if he was thinking about, obviously, Netflix and stuff, but he knew that all of that could be worth something someday.
But but everything? Like,
everything,
who's hungry?
Well, right. I was thinking about Subway, you know.
Dude, you know, that is so great. One of the revelations in it is from a hidden microphone.
Well, really?
So they didn't know they were being recorded, and it's negative on George. Hate to say it.
Really?
You know, George, not very popular for always harumphing around. So there's a discussion about replacing Harrison with Clapton.
Wow.
There's a John is very detached when he's speaking of George. Like, Paul speaks very us. John just talks straight away, and you can tell, like, something's up there. So, yeah, that kind of nuance, it's a great question because the incidental stuff is where their guard is.
Right,
down.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see that one clip where Lennon was so, he forgot the cameras were on, he was going to pull something out of his pocket jacket, yeah, and he realized the camera's on, and he freaked out. It was like a pill or something.
Weed or something?
Yeah, he put it back in his pocket.
Right.
So there are revelations to be had there, you're saying?
There are. You know, if you love a band, it is interesting how they act as a group when they're not performing.
Yeah.
You know, when they're arranging a song or just trying to understand each other, that to me is riveting. But again, for general music fans, this is going to be a bit much. But, you know, it's the Beatles. You can't
go wrong. Right.
This was based on, for them not performing for 2 years, right? They were just doing studio records, and then they were doing this a big event in this like warehouse to do a live performance, correct?
Exactly. And they had a big television show planned, and that was canceled. So the roof became an even bigger deal. Like, they couldn't agree over the TV thing. Some guy in the promotions department had a place picked out for them the same way they did the Muhammad Ali fight in the middle of Africa.
Yeah.
They wanted to take them to Libya or someplace so they could do their own thing. Crazy what didn't happen with them at the end.
Right. Yeah. So is it done in cooperation with the Beatles, the remaining Beatles? Okay, so they're obviously, all right. So
And what's his name? You know, this is Lord of the Rings boy who did this, right? That's who directed and gathered and edited and spent 2 years of his life.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson, okay.
And he asked for the assignment, he says. There's an interview where he heard that this project might happen. He said, could I do it? And he said, I've never done a documentary. I would never do a music documentary, but this I do. So his fingerprints are on there, too. That's a guy who loves big largesse. So this was the right project for that, too.
You turn it on, and it just opens up with the camera, and the guy sitting around in a room smoking cigarettes, and going, hey.
It's like an empty warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah. And these people come, and Ed, I was going to say this too. Didn't they even say that Disney wanted to edit out all the smoking and curse words?
So that's where Peter Jackson paid off. He held his ground. No. Yeah, the cursing and the smoking.
It's a Disney thing?
Has to stay. Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. That's who's exclusively showing it to the public now.
Wow, that seems like an odd thing for Disney Plus to produce to me.
I got the Beatles.
Go. Ed, have you heard about the very concerning breakthrough in regenerative medicine where scientists have created the first ever living robots
that
can reproduce?
Yeah.
And they sell it as this is a breakthrough that could one day be used to destroy cancer. And I think, or humanity.
Or me. Yeah. Right. Or me. Right. Exactly. If it's not mad at cancer that day and it gets pissed off at me, I'm gone. Well, you know,
Xenobots, they're called.
There you go. All the great eras of man's progress, we've always gone to the edge of death and we conquer it. We got the plane up in the air. We walked up these great mountains all over the world. We find ways. So I hope they're working on a way that it doesn't turn on us.
Right.
Because there's no putting any of this back in the box, right?
Yeah. You know,
it's just not, can't do that.
Unless Pfizer can whip up a quick vaccine to fight against the Xenobot vaccine. They are self-replicating. They say that these are not, they are neither traditional robots nor a species of animal, but a living, programmable organism. A computer design made from frog cells, where they're like Pac-Man shaped cells. They use their mouth to release their babies that look more like them, and they're self-replicating. I don't know. It doesn't.
We should be burning that with fire right now.
I'm saying the same thing. Who's going to shoot this thing before it gets out of the studio?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, who's going to accidentally drop a vial of these Xenobots, near the back door of the facility there? Someone's going to track it out into the street. Before you know it, we've got giant organisms, robot organisms, eating cars down the street.
And by the time we hear this, hasn't Xi Jinping and everybody else bought them all up? By the time you and I read about it,
we went to buy all the Xenobots.
Don't get you now. So, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up. Strike a contrast with me.
right.
I'm looking at a news article just before I come on, and it's a bee. And the bee has a caption under him that this bee, in his entire life, will only manufacture a fraction of a teaspoon of honey. So that's one side of nature, right? For me to get my jar of honey, look at how many bees got to work their ass off. Then on the other end, something man-made is going to devour relentlessly and without guilt every life form in sight. Wow, what a span that is from that deadly, I love how you say self-replicating.
Right.
I'm not even sure how they did that, but very good term. It's the self-replicator.
Every species of anything on the planet requires, for survival, some regenerative capabilities, whether it's replicating plants, budding plants to other plants, like a bee transferring pollen, or sexual animals reproducing, or even like viruses. Everything depends on its regeneration.
Absolutely, but I will raise this question. It may not turn out to mean anything, but in agriculture, when they try to have more and more and more of something great, they clone it, but the 1 millionth copy doesn't have the power of the original. They're clones, but they're not identical. They're clones. So that's what I worry about here. I don't want to wear all of this out and then we get killed by it. We're supposed to be using this stuff. It could be backwards. I'm not sure, but we might be doing this in the reverse.
Yeah.
There's people that are suffering badly from human stuff.
Yeah.
You might think about them when your self-replicant is in the parking lot.
I mean, I enjoy hearing about cancer research, if this is truly what this is about, and advances in that department here. But they report this thing, they're computer designed, hand assembled. They can swim out into their tiny dish, find a single cell, gather hundreds of single cells together, and assemble a baby in their little Pac-Man mouth. A few days later, those babies, the new Xenobots, look and move exactly like the parental, or whatever you want to call them, and they go out and find cells and build copies of themselves again and again and again and again and again. They say with the right design, they'll self-replicate, and they can use it to go in and attack whatever cells, embryonic cells, cancer cells, blah, blah, blah. But,
scary.
It's frightening.
It is, and I'm not sure if they're creating that life form or they're grafting it and putting it onto something. I mean, it is, as they say, it's funny. While you were describing it, they say, theoretically, they say, I mean, a lot of people tell us a lot of things before they actually have the thing near me where you and I can see it.
Right.
So I'll give it, but I'm not ready to believe yet. Maybe I could be forced to be convinced, but that life will be created. I'm not sure about that.
They do say that these are made from frog cells. They're replicating now in a way that is very different from how frogs do it. No animal or plant is known to science that replicates itself in this way. That statement alone should scare the crap out of you.
Yeah,
does.
Get ready to fight giant robot frogs about 10 years from now.
Without a doubt. And when will we start to adapt this in a couple of hundred years? When is this going to show up in us? All the plastic showed up in us. Everything else that we broke through with. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go to the doctor, and he's going to say, "Oh, I got bad news. You've got some type of cancer, but drink these frog bots, and they'll just slowly destroy it within."
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah.
Get rid of the cancer and grow you an extra arm. No big deal. Right? Who cares? You'll be able to balance yourself when you're elderly. Yeah.
That's pretty frightening advance. You hear stuff about science that kind of freaks you out every once in a while, but it seems more and more lately now, you're hearing stories, freakish stories about scientific developments that make you really worry about the future. And should we be tampering with it,
It's funny because on this front right now, I'm imagining that they're perfect with all of this. I see the replicants coming at me, blah, blah, blah. Then I go to the real doctors And they're confused every other day. Even this Omicron over the weekend, didn't you see it was light and it's dangerous? It's light, but it's dangerous. I don't get it. Every time I go to scientists, they never, it's like a realtor. Nobody ever agrees on the appraised value.
Yeah. Right. They always say it's mild, but it's, oh, it could be very bad.
Scientists
say, yeah, it could be terrible. But it's all scratchy throat and body aches. But you better get another vaccine right away.
Exactly. And if not, just jump right in the vial of vaccine and hide in there until the damn thing is over.
Yeah. I suggest some people just go get a Moderna diluted version of it in an IV bag and get one of those rolling, you know, the IV hangers that you have in the hospital. You got to take it out for your walk around the hallways.
Right.
You get one of those and tap your arm with an IV drip and drip vaccine into you consistently until it blows over.
That's it. If you guys have any antibodies, throw them into the vat. I'm just pumping it in here in the hall.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Excellent. Had a great Thanksgiving. I didn't know this was coming. They dropped free HBO on my system.
What?
Oh, correct.
All right.
So it was Sopranos, all 78
yes.
episodes in 96 hours. Boom, boom. Fast forwarding through all the chit chat.
That's the best part of it. You watch the whole thing. That's 86 episodes.
Nothing. I don't want to see the kids talking. I don't want to hear from the wife. All I want to see is going down alleyways, chasing cars, bodies getting stuffed. It was fantastic. Had a ball over the holiday with that. And then I tasted, but didn't like it. Have you tried a Succession on HBO? Have you heard about this show?
No, what is it?
It's a parallel of like the Fox Network family kind of deal. So I gave it a shot. What about you guys? Anybody try it?
I tried one episode. I couldn't get into it.
It was a no-go, right? Same here. Yeah. I gave up 15 minutes. I'm like, this sucks. It sounds like a good idea, but it was terrible. So, but I do have a lawn thing. Do we have time?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just about to get into that. I dropped down my Scott's Bonus S. last weekend, it's watered in nicely. I put a nice cut. I went down one level lower since I had such slow growth the previous week that I went a week without cutting it, and I wanted to get it done before Thanksgiving, so I lowered it down because I cut it at the normal level. It didn't make much of a difference, and I brought it down one, and it is absolutely smashing. I put some I dropped some fertilizer. This weekend, I'm going to drop my ironite on it, and it's fantastic.
You know, we should get separate slippers to walk the lawn.
I want my lawn barefoot.
My lawn slippers ready, please. I'm getting ready to walk the lawn. So here's a word I would like you to tell me if you recognize it, why I would be bringing it up. The north side of the house, it said, has a lot of shade, it said. So you need shade-tolerant St. Augustine by the name of a great Spanish city. Do you know it? Seville. Seville sod. Go ahead.
Yeah, Seville. I know Seville. Seville's not cheap. I could use Seville in my backyard. I have a heavily shaded backyard, and the, my normal St. Augustine does not do well. But Seville is very expensive. But it looks, have you seen it? The texture of the grass, the blade size?
It's like a carpet. I've had the Sensate experience with it. Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. It's dwarf, which is, you know, it's short.
Right.
But it's semi-dwarf. So it goes next.
That means I could date her, right?
Are they talking about? Exactly. Bring her to Christmas dinner. No problem.
So many different types of grass. But if you know, St. Augustine's a standard around Florida, but there are different types. Like you said, there's Zoysia. That's one type. Seville is one type.
Right.
But if you drive through some of the more Tony neighborhoods and notice real professional landscaping, that Seville is the, because it does well. Very well in shade, and you know, as long as it's taken care of, it's not going to suffer direct sun either. So yeah,
absolutely.
Good stuff.
It looks terrific. It does cost a lot of dough, so we're going to be experimenting with the installation.
Do you have a north facing shaded part of your home?
I do, and it's next to a taller home. Not only is it the north side, but the tall guy is next to it. So forget it.
Yeah, neighbor with a butt.
That's where they got you.
Pardonnez-moi?
Neighbor with the butt?
The neighbor
that's across the pond. Oh, okay. But similar style house, though. Funny you mentioned that. And then I renewed my auto tags in 120 seconds.
Oh, really?
Took
online?
Two, 2 minutes online. I couldn't believe it. I was told I could do this. I didn't believe it. I did it. 2 year renewal, 120 seconds of my life.
Wow. And they mail it to you, right?
Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Same thing with the taxes. Taxes is hard. Got to really get in a mood that you don't get angry about the amount of digits. But 1, 2, 3, done. Get it out of here till next year.
That's beautiful. Yep. What beats the hell out of standing in that line at the DMV, doesn't it? Or the tax office, whatever
people,
that is.
Yeah, that's the worst, isn't it? When you're watching other people and they have problems and you start to take on their problems. Oh, my God, I can have that. I didn't check my curb. Yeah, I love it.
And Till.
Great being with you, man.
Good to talk to you, buddy. I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving and...
Same here. Great to chat with you guys today.
I can't wait to see pictures of your Seville.
Absolutely. Let me tell you.
All right, buddy.
with the receipt from the price tag.
Until, ladies and gentlemen, noon to three or your midday show, wherever time zone you live in, you listen to Florida Man Radio. Thanks, Ed.
You got it.
Say about it. Later. All right. It's break time.
Lawn talk.
I like talking about grass.
You guys should do a Sunday show. Lawn talk.
We're going to team up with our Main Street Mower guys to talk about lawn talk. Hell yeah.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pfizer's new St. Augustine vaccine. Make sure your grass is vaccinated against COVID. All right, a quick break here. Morris Family Farms are next. I'll tell you when we get back. One of the most prolific carjackers in Chicago is has been arrested. You'll be shocked at his age. all right, we'll do it all next. Stick around. It's the Shannon Rick Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I'm News 6 anchor Ginger Gadsden. Here are your headlines for Tuesday, November 30th. Police say a 28-year-old man was shot several times in Altamont Springs. It happened at the Village Green Apartments on Essex Avenue just after 10 Monday night. Officers say they found the man suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. He is expected to survive. Police told News 6 a woman who's familiar with the victim left the scene after the shooting, but they have not said if she is a suspect. Multiple sources say former UCF running back Otis Anderson Jr. has died after a double shooting. News 6 partner WJXT in Jacksonville reports the 23-year-old was killed and his mom is hospitalized. We're working to confirm the details on this breaking story. And a local furniture and clothing bank is helping three local families in need this Giving Tuesday. Volunteers at the Mustard Seed Warehouse were able to deliver all kinds of furniture to those families at no cost. Remember, you can get breaking news around the clock on clickorlando.com and the News 6 app.
Let's start all over.
You got me all nervous over here. How can it be permissible? Breaking JVC's principles. Drinking in the vestibule. Alcoholic, but it's typical. He's in crazy all indoors. He's a powerful force. You're obliged to conform when there's no other course. He used to be radio gold, but now I find him simply undependable. Simply undependable.
Do it again.
Simply undependable, kinda ain't no telling where Bubba went. Simply undependable, he left in the middle of the show. He puked in the receptacle. He says he's sick, but we're skeptical. Behavior's not acceptable. His business is disreputable. We're not gonna co-sign his BS for him. DJ's gone, so he's wearing a grin. No one will be constantly stepping on him. He's gonna swipe DJ's headphones. Swiping DJ's headphones. Simply undependable. Kinda ain't no telling where Bubba went. Simply undependable. He left in the middle of the show.
It keeps going.
Undependable. That's what he is. Undependable. That's what he is. Simply undependable. I put it in there for you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Simply undependable. There ain't no time. Where'd Bubba go? Simply undependable.
Bubba!
Sleeping on the couch again. Where's his undependable? He's making V-tongue signs to one of the office managers. Undependable. He left in the middle of the show. Highly efficacious.
Yeah.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on such a late evening.
It's nice to have you. We worked you in. I know that you were busy and, you know.
Yes, sir. I gave a pound of flesh today.
Yeah.
For the cause. So much I love my customers. Well, I you know what? Let me rephrase that. My extended family.
Yeah.
I changed it from customer base to extended family.
Your Thanksgiving was quite successful there.
It was. Yes, this was the biggest on record. We did very well. It was great. I don't know
if you heard. We had a guy call who had a turkey issue. The shipping people messed it up, and he was very happy that you guys hustled and got it there to them just in time, overnight, with some extra gimmies in there to make everything all good.
Yeah, I'm glad that he called in and publicly did that.
Yeah. So now we know.
Yeah, I'm glad I got there. I'm glad I almost lost my Christianity on that, gentleman. You know, and in his defense, he was upset. There was some miscommunication, but, you know, you still.
Hold on.
But anyway.
Quickly, breaking news. CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo.
Oh, wow.
Indefinitely.
Oh, so he'll be back January 1st.
Indefinitely, they say.
After an awkward interview by a female.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right, so...
So real quick, on my ride over here, I got scolded by my Atlanta wife, Tara Gilbert.
Who's that?
She's the OG original person in Atlanta that's ever ordered from us. She's the very first
one. Oh, yeah?
Very first order ever. Somehow, she did not get notified about my December 21st trip.
Right.
My November 21st trip.
Right.
And she only caught it on the way back, so I just got the phone call with her. I'm never allowed to miss Tara again when I go to Atlanta. So... Tara, I apologize publicly to you.
Yeah.
We're going back to Atlanta either the 11th or the 18th. And she really didn't scold me, but, you know.
Right.
Having fun with it. So we're going back to Georgia for anybody who needs Christmas stuff, either the 11th or the 18th, that weekend. I haven't figured it out yet. But one of those two. And Alyssa is riding shotgun.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Good for her.
So nice. They'll actually get to put a face with the person taking their orders.
Yeah, Alyssa's always there manning the phones, taking orders and taking care of stuff and
yes.
Happy face in the store here. It's very nice.
Yep. Well, but Thanksgiving was awesome. We could not have done it without everybody.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
We got a turkey breast, collards, green beans.
Real quick, how'd you like them collards?
Dude, I'm about to tell you.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Who is your dealer? Because There was so much crack in those collard greens.
Totally, dude.
Those were.
When I went to warm them up, there you could see that Amy had put some spices and maybe some bacon fat or whatever in there, and and I didn't know what it was. Like, I don't care. I heated it up, and as I started eating, it was in the pot on the stove. Like,
So my wife learned how to cook greens from Ms. Veda Burrows and then from my aunt, because my wife did not know how to cook greens when we first got married. So she has taken that country recipe and changed it just a little bit. And a shot of this and a shot of that. Yeah. I can't tell you what it is.
It's a winner, dude. It is
but
a
it's
winner.
Insane, right?
The best. I eat collard greens every chance I get. I love them.
Well, I got good news for
when
you.
I was living in Texas, I could go to a number of restaurants in Austin.
It's on the menu.
Yeah, so there. It's right there every day, all day long. And it's hardly on any regular menu around here.
Well, let me tell you what it's on now, because I just cut 2 bushel. And JJ's like, what do you want to do with all these collard greens? I was like, well, when mama gets better from her ear, cut them up, you know, because I'm like a good drug dealer. I don't like a pot full of stems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Anybody understand? Nobody wants a bag full of stems and seeds.
No, seeds, no.
No stems, no
artificial
seeds.
Artificial weight. We don't like it.
So I want all leaf in my collards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what it was.
So we rip them off, trim them off the vine or the vein. And then, so anyways, long story short, tomorrow we're cutting collards, washing them, cooking them. So, you know, we got like a 12-hour cook on our collard. It's an all-day
thing. Yeah, it's an all-day.
Right? And then you soak them because they're always better the next day. So we don't serve it. More Simple Farms, we don't serve collards to the customers the day we cook them.
You serve no collard before it's time.
That's right. No collard before it's time.
You got any Brussels sprouts over there?
I got some sprouts for you.
Oh, dude, their Brussels sprouts are like freaking tennis balls.
Yeah. You can slice
they're
them.
They're massive.
Brown sugar them. Roaster?
Yeah, it's a staple in our house. Brussels sprouts. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. So what, are you saying that collards will be a regular thing?
Yes, between now and the spring.
Really?
So this is my main season. I am a collard green farmer. I started my business on a half acre of collard greens that I grew by hand. A guy 20 years ago.
You're saying collard greens got you where you are today.
Yes, collard greens and hard work and the Lord. God bless me. So a gentleman by the name of Johnny Schlechter, who is, let's just say he's in a better spot than all of us. On the backside of his 1,000-acre farm, he had a half acre underneath the power lines that you had to go across the bridge to get to, and he couldn't get any of his tractors back there. So it was a half-mile strip, 12, 20 feet wide. He said, if you go back there and take care of it, you can farm it for free. I won't charge you. So I went back there, and I got me one of them hand jobs from the local hardware store.
That didn't sound good.
A hand job.
You know, where you walk behind them, like the wall behind
Cecil? Cecil, the hardware store?
you know the blue market? You walk behind the mower and the rototiller.
And you just deposit seeds.
No. I had to get all the grass off the land, the weeds off the land. I had to till it all by hand to get it, black, because it's black muck, ready to farm. So I did all that by hand after working my other job that I was working. Got it all done, finally got it planted, drove it, hand harvested it, iced it, drove it over to a Riviera Beach to a place called Oxtails and More, and he bought everything I grew off the back of my trailer, paid me cash for it. And that's how I started.
Really?
Yes, sir.
And one guy bought every collard you had.
Yes, and it's crazy because it was a very ethnic part of town, right?
Absolutely.
When I got there, all of his employees would bring out all of his grocery carts. Okay, and this is how he did his business, and this is how many collards we sold down there. He would bring all of his grocery carts out to his store, and he was the size of probably like a small Walmart or a neighborhood Publix, you know?
Yeah.
It was a big store. I would take collard greens, and I would put two rubber band bunches in every grocery cart, and they would take them back in the store and line them around the store. And when people walked in, they just grabbed a grocery cart and started shopping. There was already two bunches of collards in every cart.
Right.
Because everybody that walked in his door
bought
at least two collards every time they were in there. And that's how we did collards for 2 years. And then I made enough money to lease a half a block, which was 18 acres. I grew green beans. Then I went to 35. Then I went to a field, which is 72 acres. And then I went to a half a section, a whole section, and which is 635 acres. And then in 2007, I lost everything I had and slept in my truck for 7 months.
Oh, yeah, and you're ragging me about living in a tiny house.
Yeah, but the difference is I didn't give up.
I didn't give up.
I didn't say you did. I'm just messing with you.
Bitch, come on.
They're seasonal?
They're very seasonal because of the heat.
Right.
You can grow them up north a lot longer, but in Florida, Easter is about the last big holiday we have them for. By the time May, end of May gets here, it's starting to get hot. They just wilt and turn yellow real bad.
Yeah. So, but really, collards are, I mean, I'll eat them anytime. They're canned collards. You know, I'm sure you're aware. They're kind of.
There ain't nothing glorious about Old Glory.
No, but you know, holiday meals.
They're big
from
around
Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, yes, football season,
Easter,
you know, Super Bowl, yeah.
Well, New Year's, everybody has to have, even if you don't like them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Black-eyed peas, collard greens, cornbread.
Yeah.
Y'all know why?
Good luck.
Money, luck, and health or something.
Do you guys have those meals for New Year's ready to go?
No, we do. We do New Year's meals. We do Christmas meals. We
you
do
got
meals.
Black-eyed peas?
I have black-eyed peas in the store right now.
Yeah?
And some hot sauce.
JJ and Amy make cornbread. Amy makes old-fashioned cast iron skillet cornbread.
I love it.
JJ makes a little sweet cornbread, so we got two different types of cornbread.
I went there Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and you were the whole family was working their ass off.
Yeah,
but you had like four smokers or more behind the store, just going bananas, just smoking turkeys.
I set my alarm for 15 minutes because that's how long you could go because it was so cool and damp that night. I was having to stoke wood every 15 minutes.
Wow!
So for 3 days, I slept 15 minutes at a time overnight, and then during the daytime, we worked the shop or the field all day long, and then when we ate supper, sun went down, I just get in the truck, and I would stoke three smokers 15 minutes at a time all night till the sun came up, and then I'd work the store. So by the time Wednesday night got there and we were done, man, I was done.
I bet you were.
I was done.
How long did you sleep for?
I laid down Wednesday night, probably 8:30, and I slept until 7 or 8 Thursday morning.
Oh, that's good.
I slept about 12 hours straight through.
Yep. Good for you.
It was nice. Amy got scared. She said I was in a sweat or a chill or something. Like I worked myself into a fever. But it's all right.
You looked alert when I saw you?
Yeah, Wednesday. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, because once you get going and everything's flowing and, you know, just you're rolling and you just, you know, you get that second wind of energy, the adrenaline's pumping and you're just moving, shaking and moving.
So now that was a huge holiday for you guys.
Yes, it was. So now we're rolling into Christmas. We're catering anybody and everybody who wants to have a party. We can cater for it.
Christmas party.
Yeah, your Christmas parties. If you work for a place and you want to bless your employees, we do bags like our CSA. So we do bags of vegetables. We did it for the DeLand Stetson College, Stetson University.
Yeah.
We did them last year. We did like 30 or 40 bags for their staff, teachers, where we just loaded up bags of vegetables and fruits. And we delivered it to them.
Oh,
and then the administrator gave it all out as presents, you know, to their staff.
That's a great Christmas gift. You know, also, it's a great gift for, you know.
Why not give somebody the gift of health instead of some crap that's going to kill them and they're never going to use?
Right. You know? And so will you guys be doing the thing where you can mail these packages out or what?
Yes. Yeah. And we have meat boxes. I've got boxes in big enough to ship prime ribs and hams. If anybody wants any of that. I'll be in Atlanta, you know, in a couple Saturdays. So anybody wants anything for Christmas for that. So, yes, and our meat boxes are for December are being shipped tomorrow. So if you went in on the next round, you know, meat boxes are always available now.
What's the go-to Christmas meal? I always do standing prime rib roast.
So I think, and this is no disrespect to the people that don't have it, I think if you have the money, it's prime rib, either asparagus or green beans. Mashed potatoes and gravy, something like that.
Oh, yeah, go on.
And then I think, you know, then the next step down would be like a nice ham with potatoes.
You got an Amish ham down there?
We do, man. Amish ham.
Next step after that? Ravioli?
Leftover turkey for Thanksgiving.
Chef
Oscar you got tiny house bologna stuff?
Leftover turkey for Thanksgiving.
our meal was so successful that we got for you guys at it. We, you know, everyone devoured everything. Kim made everybody a little to-go thing. She bought special containers.
Right.
But I'm still Sunday night, I made the best pot of turkey soup.
Okay.
Turkey and rice soup. Oh, fantastic.
My turkey don't get to the soup stage because I'll purposely wait for sandwiches. Yeah. I love a turkey sandwich.
Me too.
And I about divorced my wife. I almost had to leave mama. Because on Friday, we started to do leftovers. Oh, y'all laughing. I'm serious. We started to do leftovers. And, you know, she's originally from Virginia and California. Her daddy was in the Navy, so we went back and forth from the Navy bases. So she doesn't understand country. It doesn't run through her blood like it does mine. So I said, all right, we're going to do leftovers. Went down to the store, got some Duke's mayonnaise, some Wonder Bread. She pulls the ham and the turkey out, starts preheating the oven, puts the stuff in the oven. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I thought we were doing leftovers. I'm warming up the bird. And I was like, I'm going to kill you and divorce you. I was like, you get that bird out of that oven right now.
Cold turkey sandwiches.
We're going to slice that sucker up.
Mayonnaise.
Two pieces of white bread with salt and pepper, mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's it.
And a single tomato. If you like tomato. If you don't like tomato, you don't need it.
That's the ideal.
Nothing else. You don't need nothing else. No.
Don't
cheese
be stacking all the stuffing on there and then some cranberry sauce and all that crap.
Green bean casserole. Yeah. No, you don't need all that.
No.
Just two pieces of bread or maybe four if you're making a few sandwiches. You know? But man, I did it. I did a little video of it. People were loving it. You know?
Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread, Duke's mayonnaise, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And then just pull it off the bird, slice it up in chunks. It don't have to be pretty slices.
Right.
Just has to fill the sandwich and hang over the edges a little bit.
Yeah, you're not trying to impress anybody.
No, and then you just eat that sound good. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I like
good.
To do those meals standing up, leaning over the kitchen sink.
Oh, yeah.
Shirtless. You have to do it shirtless.
Shirtless.
Yeah. Well, I like to do it kicked back in my recliner so I can pick the extra meat off my chest and eat it. You know? As the dog stands there staring.
Yeah. And all my dogs are always. If I'm in the kitchen, all the dogs are, something's going on in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Then they're like, hey, what's going on? What do you got?
Well, we fried our bird.
That's what I saw.
It was just over 20 pounds. It was like 20 pounds and some change. Biggest bird I'd ever fried. It took 15 gallons of oil to do it.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was so good. It was unbelievable. Burnt. No.
No, it's a perfect.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did half and half peanut and corn because I couldn't find all peanut. And I didn't realize corn had such a high smoke point. You cannot fry in like vegetable oil or.
No.
The smoke point has to be right. So, or that bird will be black as all get out, you know?
What do you do with your oil afterwards?
I mix it with vegetables and feed and I give it to my animals.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, it's great for
them. I got some oil
for it. It's pure energy. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an enzyme in oil, but it doesn't open up until you cook it. You have to heat it. Once you heat it and then cool it. So burnt oil is great source of energy. Like, it'd be hard for a human because trying to get that down to be like, you know.
Right.
Very,
we don't like the way it takes, unless it has a couple of buns.
Well, on the back end would be the worst part, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, coming back out of your body.
Slide right through you.
There you go.
Oh, really?
But the energy for the animals, it's insane. Like, you can actually, you give them like a half a cup, maybe a cup a day per animal, right? So it takes a week to get rid of 15 gallons, you know?
Right.
But literally within 2 or 3 days, their coats are different. The way they're moving is different. I mean, just everything about them is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, if I had access to, you know, the burnt clean oil,
right?
You know, year round, I'd use it all the time. So I just use it whenever I fry something.
So you're back into regular mode now at the store, at the shop.
There ain't nothing regular about our mode,
right?
But yes, sir. Yeah,
you're not over amped. You know, freaking out Thanksgiving. You know,
no, I think we handled it pretty good. Yeah, I have to give a shout out. JJ, Gibby, Alina, Alyssa, Mama, Aurora, Julian, everybody involved.
Yep.
We did it. I got a funny story to tell you off air. I can't tell it on air because people take it out of context. But we had some crazy things happen. Crazy phone calls, crazy stuff. I mean, stuff that it's like, no, that we don't do this. And they're like, we don't care. We want this done.
Really?
Oh, yeah, just stupid. All right. Stupid is the only way to describe it. But we loved it. And we're ready for Christmas. We're rested. We're ready.
Yeah.
I'm stocked up. Prime rib orders, get them in right now.
Is there such a thing as Wagyu prime rib?
There is. Yeah, it's just like, you know, $55 a pound.
Wagyu and Sloppy Joe's?
I give you all the Wagyu prime rib you want. I'm actually doing a Wagyu cow tomorrow. So it'll hang for 2 weeks if anybody wants
it. Right around Christmas time, I'll be ready?
I'll need to know before I cut the ribeye steaks.
Well, I'll be writing down my order right now before you leave.
You want a Wagyu prime rib?
Yeah.
All right. Because, you know, you either get a prime rib or you get ribeye steaks. You get one or the other. So I have to not cut steaks to get that rib. But I can do it. I know. I got 3 cows standing in the field. I hate to deprive
your customers of a steak.
I'll take two instead of one.
Prime is fire with me. I don't need to.
Just a regular prime rib?
Yeah. I don't need, you know.
How about I cut you? Is he couch surfing now? Got a new couch. Is there something about that seat that brings on couch surfing?
Needs to be delivered.
It does.
It's a demonic activity.
It's got generational curses. We need to have a deliverance on that, Jeff.
Meatbox of the month is going like crazy there. Call 407-402-5686. The Morris Family Farms. Talk to Alyssa, and she'll get you hooked up on the meatbox of the month. And I saw the operation Wednesday. The little area staging area, all the styrofoam and the boxes and stuff. That's it's.
We're ahead of the game this time.
Tomorrow
ship day. It's going out. And we're going to roll. We're just going to keep getting it better and better.
Yeah.
Getting all the kinks worked out. So thank you, everybody who's involved.
Stop by the shop if you're in the area in the brick and mortar, 101 North Quinton Club Drive, or find them on Facebook. It's a great way to get to know the family. They're very active on Facebook. It's a very funny stuff on Facebook. And call them, 407-402-5686, and get your order in for Christmas now so you are not left out with your cheese in a way.
That's it.
Good to see you, bro.
Yeah, and prices are only going up, so order your ribs now.
Oh, so if I order today, I get it today's price?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling everybody, I'm locked in right now on prime ribs.
All right.
The cows I got lined up to go, but prices are everything's going up. Everything we do is going up. Yeah. So don't wait till the day before Christmas. Order your prime rib. Bone-in standing roast, filet roast, or boneless prime rib roast.
There you go. Get it done. Thanks, brother. Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, stick around. We'll come back in a moment, wrap it all up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. When you go home tonight, Jonathan, you already had dinner? You're going to have dinner, and then what?
No, I'm going to eat a steak tonight.
Nice.
Because we did some cows today, and I always like to eat a couple just so I know what I'm selling. It's my excuse to eat a ribeye.
Yeah.
You know, I got quality control.
How many nights a week do you eat a steak?
Normally I would say 4 to 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
But the last month, because of everything I've been doing – with traveling in the, you know, Atlanta and Pensacola and, you know, the shop and Thanksgiving, you know, I've just been hitting, you know, whatever JJ's got in the smoker or our dirty pleasure. I'll call Amy. I'll be like, hey, order chicken wings from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, just get 100 chicken wings brought to the house.
100 chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, we ordered chicken wings from a place in Sanford. And they tell us, based on the size of your order, we need you to prepay for that.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, we love it.
Jonathan Morris, Morris Family Farms, 407-402-5666. We're back tomorrow after Ed Till. Ed follows Justin Clark and the Justin Clark Show, and they follow Bubba the Love Sponge, the El Chapo of morning talk radio. And I mean that literally and figuratively. See you tomorrow after Ed Till. On the Florida Man Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. I'm Shannon Burke. Goodbye.